ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात्। श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे। मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव। भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो। नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम्। जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया। तेजोवारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा नाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि। धर्मप्रोज्झितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम्। श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणान्। निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा। यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमाजुहावा पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षदां धमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेन्। कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारेर् मधुरीं न कणिकापि कापि काभिम्। नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः। वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनाधि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः। पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालये शमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम। मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमतिराधिकायै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द।
So yesterday we were discussing this, one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita, which is often quite misunderstood also. Ananyaschindayandomam ye janam paryupasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Krishna is saying, isn't it? Incidentally, if you look into all the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, of the 700th verses, if you look, you will see this verse comes right in the middle of Bhagavad Gita. This Ananyaschindayandomam verse, if you take all the 700 verses, it is the 350th or 351st verse, not sure. But right in the middle of, exactly the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, this verse comes. So practically this verse is a very important verse in the sense that to understand what is Krishna is saying to us, Krishna is saying, if you remember in the end, Krishna is saying, surrender unto me, take my shelter. When Krishna is saying take my shelter means take the spiritual life and take the shelter of the soul, in other words. That, or from the devotee's point of view, taking Krishna shelter, in other words. It doesn't matter, either way it is the same thing. But the important thing here is that what happens when you take Krishna shelter, that's implied in this verse. You can see that. That ananyatvam, what Krishna says there in the beginning, ananyaschindayandomam, that ananyatvam is the most important thing. Because it is this ananyatvam takes us to the state where we don't become dependent on the world, dependent on the body, dependent on the money, dependent on the other things in this world. This is our entanglement in this world, everywhere feeling shelter in so many things in this world. Is it not? We feel shelter in our own body first, thinking that, oh, this will stay healthy forever. And it won't put me into difficulty. Some unusual faith in the body, thinking that it will go on like this forever. But that's one thing. Even though we explained that yesterday, why it is so, isn't the reason for that? Why is that? Because the soul inside won't allow you any time to think that you are temporary in the body. That's the problem. The soul is always telling from inside. The knowledge inside is telling us you are permanent. Body outside is telling us we are temporary. This is our situation. The two things are happening. That is why Krishna mentions there in that last verse, Sadasa Chaham Arjuna, he says, isn't it? Where? What is that verse? In the 19th verse, Tabamyaham Aham Varsham. That is Krishna's explanation to this soul and the body. Tabamyaham Aham Varsham Nigranami Usrajamija and Amrdam Chaiva Mrityuscha Sadasachaham Arjuna. What is this Sadasachaham Arjuna means? This is that. Inside it is me as Sat, outside is Asat. That's what we are, isn't it? If you look into your own body, inside is Sat, outside is Asat. So, though Sat and Asat is me, Krishna is saying, but the nature of Sat you have to always remember, which doesn't change. That is the beauty of Sat. Sat will never experience any change. That is why this Parinama Vadam, which Darwin brings in, is not acceptable to Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita doesn't accept Parinamam. Sat cannot change. Asat will change. Sat can never change. They are discussing this Darwin's theory for so many years in the universities. Some of them are saying now it's wrong. Some of them are saying it's correct. Government says it should be introduced in the syllabus. And all arguments are going on. But Krishna is saying to us, Sat you can never change. It will always remain the same. It cannot be subjected to any change. That's the beauty of the Sat. Whereas Asat is concerned, it always will change, Krishna says. Sadasa Chaham Arjuna. Tabamyaham Aham Varsham. Nigranami Usajamija. Sadasa Amrdas Cheva Mrityuscha Sadasa Chaham Arjuna. We have seen that yesterday. We talked about that, isn't it? So, coming, why this word is important is each word in the Bhagavad Gita carries so much to tell us that if you want to come to the spiritual life, these things are important. In other words, when Krishna is saying ananyaschindayantam, then ananyatvam. We talked about yesterday. Ananyatvam means what? Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. That is the definition. When all ashrayam means taking shelter. of all other things when you have left it, when you have left the shelter of everything else in this world, that is ananyatvam. Otherwise it's not. So it is only those devotees who have come to that state that verse refers to, not to ordinary people. Remember the difference, bhakti, there are others also, are devotees are there, but they have not come to the ananyatvam stage. Ananyatvam stage is when you think that you are not separated from Krishna at any moment. Everything happening through you, whatever Krishna has decided. So, and without any complaint, without any objection, you are accepting whatever is happening in life. That stage. That is a very difficult thing for everybody, isn't it? To accept everything in life as it comes. If you are in that state, Krishna says this ananyato. Otherwise not. So, that's why, remember yesterday, Yajnavalkya Maharshi was saying to Maitreyi, Maitreyi, the problem is this, he says to her, that in our human body, if you get hold of something, you won't leave it. You will keep on holding on to it, thinking that that will take, you can take shelter of that. So, just like when somebody takes a position, he gets a position in this world, a big position, thinking that position will keep him going in this world. He feels shelter in the position or in the fame in this world. And similarly, anything wherever you have put that priyam inside, the attachment, anywhere if you have put it in this world, one day that will leave us, including this body. Including this body. So, if ever we put any faith in the body, it is going to bring us disappointment one day. That's the point Krishna is making here. That, and at the moment, body is healthy. So, you think it will remain like this, isn't it? That's a natural way we think. It will stay like this. But it doesn't, isn't it? And you will keep on thinking, I'll do some repair work here and there in the body, with some treat massages or some Ayurvedic treatment or whatever. Something will try to do with the body and try to keep it going. But it won't. It wouldn't. It will go its own way. And after saying this, Krishna is going to say this in the next verse, that if you take shelter of anything outside the soul, you will end up in the same problem. That is why in the next verse you will say, Epi Anya Devada Bhakta. This Anya Devada means you get hold of any form in this world, any form, doesn't matter what it is, outside the soul, which is not the soul, then you will have to have the same problem. We'll come to that later. So, in the same principle is in the Upanishad. It's all from the Upanishads. Everything is coming from the Upanishads. If you look into Brihadaranyam, Brihadaranyam is one of the most famous and one of the largest Upanishads out of the major 10. Out of the major 10 Upanishads, Brihadaranya Upanishad is one of the name itself you can see, Brihadaranyam. Brihad means big, Aranyam means forest. It was spoken in the deep, dense forest. Some great sage, particularly mainly it is Maitreya, Yajnavalkya, they are the personalities in this. They have discussed this Brihadaranya Upanishad in the dense forest. And therefore, the name itself is Brihadaranya Upanishad. Apart from Mandukya Upanishad, Brihadaranyam is another Upanishad which discusses about deep sleep state in a deeper level. A lot spoken in that, once you want to read through. But here, in these Upanishads, in the Brihadaranya Upanishad, in the Antaryami Upasana, about worshipping Krishna as the soul of everyone, it mentions here, Brahmam tam parad adhyo anyatra atmano brahma vedaha. Kshatram tam parad adhyo anyam anyatra atmana kshatram vedaha. Lokastam parad anyunyatra atmano loganna veda. Devastam parad udhyo anyatra atmano devanna veda. Bhudani tam para duryo anyatraatmano bhudani veda sarvatam parad adhyatma anyatraatmana sarva vedaha idam brahma idam kshatram ime loka ime deva imani bhutani idam sarvam yadayam atma. What it's saying is that a brahmana who thinks he is different from the soul or from the self, he is not a Brahmana. Upanishad is saying this. A A Brahmana who thinks he is different from the self, from the soul, he is not a Brahmana. Kshatriya who thinks different from the self, he is not a Kshatriya. And the gods who think, so many devadas in the hierarchy, isn't it? So one who knows different from the self, they are not devadas anymore. And Brahmana, Kshatriya, the world, these gods, these beings, and this all are this self. Everything is self at the moment. It is this Atma who appears in the form of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Devadas. Everything is coming from that understanding that the self is everything. The self is the everything. So it is that same thing. You can see what Krishna is saying here is Ananyatvam. Ananyatvam is that. Now, the self is important because it's based on the self. All these things, verses are spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So here, you can see here, anything you see separated from the self has not understood properly. Therefore, he says, suppose just like we think about the spiritual master. Who is spiritual master? If you think he is another form standing outside, separated from the self, he is not the spiritual master then. He's not the spiritual master. Because if that situation, one day that body will go, does that mean the spiritual master is finished? It cannot be, isn't it? Spiritual life is an eternal thing. And anyone who thinks that spiritual master is the body, and the body is going to die one day, that means spiritual master is dead. This Ekanath Swami's famous story, when Janardana Swami, his spiritual master, told him that he was one personality who always believed in the eternity of the soul. That means, as far as he is concerned, Janardana Swami is not never ceased to exist. He's always his spiritual master. When Janardana Swami left his body, Ekanath Swami is saying, he continued discussing Bhagavad Gita at that time, because as far as he is concerned, there is no death for a spiritual master. Therefore, he didn't stop discussion. He continued talking about it. Others who were present there, they were shocked to see that Ekanath Swami was not moved at all when he was informed about the death of Janardana Swami, his spiritual master. But Ekanath Swami says, I was not disturbed because as far as I am concerned, spiritual master is not that form what I have seen in that body. It is nothing but Atmano Guru Atmaiva. Andaryami inside has come in that form and has instructed me spiritual life. That is how he is seeing a spiritual master, not through the body. If you start seeing through the body, everything is very temporary in this world. My body is not temporary, my body is temporary, spiritual master's body is temporary. So through bodily level, there is no relationship. It is a misunderstanding that all relationships, it's only on the spiritual platform. That is the point Krishna is making here. So when one sees so if you take any form as your shelter, thinking that that body is my form, I have taken shelter, then one day he will go, that body will go. Every spiritual master has to go in that case, isn't it? The body will one day disappear, whatever it may be. So that is why here, if ever you have to take shelter of anything in this world, it has to be a permanent thing. Otherwise, one should not take shelter. When we say shelter, you mean we have this normal tendency that everybody wants a shelter, isn't it? Because we don't know what we are doing here. Here in this world, so many things we are doing what the society is telling us to do. But when you start looking at it on your own way about the life in this world, we need a shelter. We need a shelter. If we take shelter of anything, it has to be a permanent thing. That is the most important thing. Something that will never cease to exist. Never cease to exist. And the only such a vastu, such a object should be taken shelter of. And that is the soul. That is the soul. So here you can see when you analyze yourself, when you in your own way, if you analyze things, you can see except the soul, you can't take shelter of anything else. Except the soul. You can't take shelter of the body because body will go. Mind will go. Intelligence will go. Ego will go. and the so-called other friends, family, everything will go. Then what will remain then? Ultimately, after rejecting everything, what that remains is the self. That alone you can take shelter, nothing else. Anything else, if you take shelter, you will be disappointed. You will have to suffer later. That's all. That's one warning there. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. So, here, one important thing. We have talked about that before also. Krishna is saying, ananyaschindayandomam yejanam pariyupasade. In other words, two kinds of things exist. Satya and asatya. Satya is nityam, eternal. Asatya is temporary, anityam it is. So, always, Krishna mentions here that anityam or temporary things is only good for vyavaharam. It's only good for vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means, you know what it means, isn't it? Vyavaharam means our day-to-day dealings in this world. Anityam vastu, anitya vastu only for vyavaharam, nitya vastu only for shelter. This is the principle. Nitya vastu, permanent thing, only for shelter. Anitya vastu, temporary thing, only for vyavaharam. If we keep this principle in life, then there is not much that can go wrong in spiritual life. Normally what happens is, we do business with nitya vastu and we take shelter of anitya vastu. Temporary thing is anitya vastu. We take shelter of that. That is our normal state, isn't it? That's what we do always. All of us have to agree with that. That anitya vastu, temporary thing, we find shelter. Permanent thing, nitya vastu, we do vyavaharam with it. We can see all the time it happens. Isn't it? Till this is reversed, this is normal change tendency in us. In every one of us have got this nature. That anitya vastu for vyavaharam, nitya vastu for shelter, ashrayam. Nitya vastu for ashrayam, anitya vastu for vyavaharam. That is the principle. Anitya vastu for vyavaharam, nitya vastu for ashrayam. Nitya vastu means eternal thing. What is that eternal thing? Soul. Soul for shelter and the world for business. World is for business, but soul is for shelter. Soul is for shelter. Normally what happens is, world is for shelter, soul is for business. This goes the opposite way. It happens like that. Everybody does that. Because without knowing this principle, this is a very fundamental principle in the Bhagavad Gita. Only if you follow this, you will come to this state of ananyatvam. Otherwise, it won't happen. In order to lead, what that leads us to this ananyatvam state is happening in that way. Just like money is for spending, but money cannot be taken shelter. Money is for spending. For vyavaharam, yes, you need the money. But utilize it. Whatever purpose it helps, what you can do in this world. But if you take shelter of the money, you will be disappointed one day. It will not give you shelter. It cannot give you shelter. Because unfortunately, the banking system, everything creates a feeling like that, isn't it? That everything will be safe there in the bank. And the bank balance goes up, our level of feel-good factor also goes up. So therefore, how do you know this? Because you can see that nature in our spiritual life also. What we want to do with Krishna is, we want to bring Krishna, nice deity, and celebrate Krishna's marriage. All what we do here in this world, we want to put that on Krishna also. And make Krishna one like us. Instead of changing what Krishna is telling us to do, we won't do that. We saying to Krishna, you become one like us. That's what we like it with Krishna. Vyavaharam with Krishna. That is what it is. That's why in many places you will see in the Bhagavatam lectures and all that, they will conduct Krishna's marriage nicely with Rukmini. Krishna and Rukmini getting married, and they celebrate it in a nice way. That's all they want to with Krishna. They don't want to hear Ekadasi Skandam, what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. No, no, that is too much. That's that they don't want it. What they want is, you make Krishna also like us. who gets married and having children and grandchildren and family life and all that. So things, isn't it? So and so then what happens? Sometimes we think that Krishna also needs, like us, a lot of gold and jewelry, this, that, and everything, and bangles and rings and chain and everything. We give it to Krishna and give it to put it in the temple, thinking that he looks nice with all the gold, like us. We look with so much gold in our neck. And we start thinking like this, and one day what happens? Somebody else then steals all the gold from the temple. He takes it and goes away. So, Nityavastu, and when the gold, everything is stolen, people start saying, oh, Krishna has no power to protect himself. So then I have to take the responsibility of protecting all the gold, what Krishna has got. So this is all misunderstanding in spiritual life. This is how things happen nowadays. A lot of places these things happen. Tons and tons of gold, they go and give it to the temple and say that this is all for Krishna. Let Krishna has all the gold. Let Krishna enjoy as much gold as he wants. All misunderstanding, without knowing that the soul is, Krishna is interested only to tell one thing to Uddhava and to Arjuna also, that in this human life, nirdeham adyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sugalpam guru karna dharam mayanikulena napaswate eridam puman bhavadhyam nataretsa atmaha. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, I have given you this human body, and in this body, if you can stop this cycle of birth and death, you have escaped from here. Don't have to come back here. If ever you think that anything else apart from this as a goal of life, you have lost it. That is the very clear instructions from Krishna to Uddhava. So, only when the shelter, Krishna becomes the shelter, Atma becomes the shelter, and when we don't take shelter of anything else in this world, only in their case, Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yogakshemam Vahamyaham. That two lines apply. The last two lines apply only in that case. Only in that case where when we have taken complete shelter of Krishna alone and never taking shelter of anything else in this world, Krishna says, Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yogakshemam Vahamyaham. Normally, those people who are doing that, they are tattva-jnanis. They know the tattvam well. When we don't know the tattvam, what will happen is we'll become like a religion then. Then it's a religion after that, isn't it? Just like there are so many religions in this world. Krishna consciousness also will become a religion then. It becomes just a religion. So, ashraya means what? What does it mean? Ashraya means knowledge. That knowledge itself is the ashrayam. To know very well inside that Krishna is the shelter, nothing else is the shelter in this world. That knowledge, not through the mind and the brain, but in the consciousness. That acceptance inside, anubhavam, experience level, when that comes. There is, except that knowledge, there is nowhere else you can hold on to. There is nowhere else you can hold on to. You cannot take shelter of anything else. You can't take shelter of your own body. What to talk about anything else? Isn't it? You can't take shelter of your health. You can't take shelter of your brain. You can't do anything of them. Because all of them belong to Prakriti. It has come from the material nature. And this is a meditation. This is a meditation. That I can't take shelter of my own body. I can't take shelter of my own mind. I can't take shelter of my own intelligence. This is a meditation. And when you reject everything, that means the mind, the body, the mind, the intelligence, ego, and everything else like that, you have rejected everything, senses, all of it you have rejected. There is one vastu inside which you cannot reject it, because you cannot take it also, because that's the only thing that is left. That is how they say in the Vedantam. In the Vedantam, they present it like that. After rejecting the gross body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, everything you reject. After rejecting everything, what is left there? Which cannot be rejected, nor it can be taken on board. Why? It's already there, and that's the only thing what remains. If you remember, when we discussed this particular verse in the Bhagavatam, What is God? There was a question, isn't it? What is Narayana? There was a question. Where was the question? It was in the... who was that spoken that? Pipalaya Maharshi. Pipalaya Maharshi answered that question. When they asked this question, he says, if it is on the third chapter, 11th canto, on the 36th verse, Naidan manu vishadi vaguda chakshuralma pranendriyanija yadhan alamarchishaswal shabdho vibhodaka nishedhadai atmamoolam arthoktamaha yadrute na nisheda siddhi. This is how Pipalaya Maharshi puts it. Pipalaya says to him, Naidan manu vishadi vaguda chakshuralma pranendriyanijayathanalamarchishaswaham shabdhobi bodhaka nishedhadaya alpamoolam arthoktamaha yadrute na nisheda siddhi. Nisheda siddhi. What is nisheda siddhi? This is the Vedantic process. The process in the Vedantam is like this. What is that? Not mind, naidan mano vishadi. Walk, the words, chakshu alma, or the senses, or or the pranan, senses, any of those things, yadhan alamarchishaswa, all of them if you reject everything, shabdhobi bhotaka nishethane alpamoilam. In the Vedam, the discussion about the soul, when it is referenced to the soul, it is neti neti, isn't it? Nishedi, nishetham it is. So through that nishetham process, what comes and what remains, arthoktam, that is the only substance that remains, that is Krishna. That is Krishna. That is how Krishna, you have to understand Krishna. Pipalaya Maharshi answered this question from the king. Raja, Nimi asked that question, isn't it? Narayana Abhidanasya Brahmana Paramalpana Nishthamarhadano Vaktam UEM He Brahma Vittama. That was the question. Narayana Abhidanasya Brahmana Paramalpana. Brahmam, Paramatma, in all these names, one who is known, which is Narayana, he says. Narayana, who is known as Brahma and Paramatma. Nishtam Arhadano Vaktam UEM He Brahma Vittama. Brahma Vittama means one who is in the Brahman realization state. Please explain that to me, who is this Narayana? In answer to that, these verses, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Some big verses they are, very long verses. If you read through their translation and purport on those verses, that is the perfect description of a person who has realized the truth. He will explain that. This is how one has to present what is the absolute truth. The way Pipalaya Maharshi has spoken there. Other definition, just to tell someone Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's fine, that's okay. But that is in a very simple level you can say that. Extremely simple level. If you say to someone Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, somebody will accept, somebody may not accept it. But if you say these verses, you can't reject it. Because it is so deeper level, it is spoken about the truth. That is the difference. If you mention to someone Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, somebody will accept it. Somebody may not accept it. He says, how do you know? What will you answer then? Further. It's finished there, isn't it? Because I'm telling you, so you accept it. That's what you have to say. But you can't say anything more. But these verses, these 35 to 40, these five verses, is analyzed Krishna in so nicely that Pipalaya Maharshi has explained it to Nimi, saying to him, Tithyul bhava pralaya hedura hedurasya yal sopna jagara sushupta shusal bahischa Dehendriya sukhadayani charandiyena sanjeevidani tadavehi param narendra. Each every verse, you have to go back to those classes when we discuss this. These five verses, if somebody asks to know, unfortunately scientists don't look into these things. They will look at something else. They think everything is just a just a religion for them. And they look at it like that. This is not religion. This is the science of the soul. Science of what is God. If you want to explain that, these five verses can talk about it in a very deeper level. And that, it's with common sense, one can easily understand that. Anyway, that's another thing. So here, Krishna was mentioning that's where it comes in. Tyoktam idha nisheda siddhi. That nisheda siddhi. Nisheda siddhi is this. That you are rejecting the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. And finally what remains? That's the soul. That's the soul. And that thing, you cannot reject it, you cannot accept it, because that's what you are. You see? What you are, something, and that you can't reject that, isn't it? Similarly, you can't take it on board because that's what you are. That's what they say about that. So, because it is, if you take shelter of that, that you know that that is a perfect shelter. Because it is absolute security. It is because nothing can destroy it. And that is what, the only proof what we have of that is our awareness. Awareness is the proof. Nishedal Bodha Siddhi. It says Bodha Siddhi, isn't it? Bodhalmagataya Nisheda Siddhi. Bodhalmagataya Nisheda Siddhi. It says like that in that verse. So there, when we take shelter of the soul, it is perfection. It is perfection. And there will be no question of another shelter after that. And when one is situated on the platform of the soul, in the same way, a person who is in that state, material nature has a responsibility to look after that person in all situations. And that just like a ajnani, an ignorant person, like us, all our cases, that how material nature is keeping us going. Krishna is keeping us going every day, isn't it? That means the breathing system works, the digestive system is working, the circulatory system is working, blood circulation in the body. These things didn't happen on its own. There is a power behind it operating, which we don't take notice of. We think, oh, it's just come by chance like that, like the scientist says. Every moment, in every second, Antaryami inside is keeping this system functioning. Isn't it? The blood system, the breathing system, the digestive system, so many systems, prana, the blood flow, everything Krishna is controlling from within. And so, just like material nature is looking after all these things, similarly, a jnani or a realized soul, his body also, till the end of his prarabdham, material nature will take care of it. That is not Krishna is saying there. If you have realized this, if you have come to that state, Ananyas Chindayandomam Yejanam Parivasade Tesham Nityabhi Yuktanam Yoga Kshemam Mahamiham. What Krishna is saying there is, if you have realized, come to that state, just like material nature is looking after everybody's body in this world, the material nature will look after his body also, till the prarabdham is over. So, whichever way it has to be looked after, it will be looked after in this world. Those who have that realization, they don't get frightened of anything in this world. Those who are in that state, who come to that state. Because they know very well, nobody can do anything with their body. Because when the prarabdham is over, and they know that the body will go on its own. When the prarabdham is finished, the body will go on its own, and therefore they won't take shelter of anything. And if by chance anybody, if anyone in the world use their body for some good purpose in this world, and they will go along with it, not for their own benefit, they won't do anything. In other words, they are always in that state, always in the free state, always in a very free state, because nothing disturbs them as far as the body is concerned. So, one who is situated in that state, Krishna is saying, only in their state, this protection of yoga kshemam vahamyaham applies. Yogam we mentioned yesterday, apraptasya praptahi yogaha. Two things. Yoga means apraptasya praptahi yogaha. That means if in his spiritual life, if he is short of something, if he is not, Krishna takes control of that. Krishna makes sure that he will reach the destination eventually. That is that yogam side of it. The kshemam side is that in order that the body which is there due to prarabdham, that body should not become a hindrance in his spiritual life. So to that extent, Krishna will look after the body. That is a guarantee. This is Krishna's guarantee. Like we like guarantees, isn't it? Anything when we buy, we want a guarantee with it. Like when we buy the goods on the shops also, we like a guarantee. So Krishna is also giving us a guarantee. Krishna is saying, apraptasya yogakshemam mahamyaham. What is that? Apraptasya praptahi yogaha. Yoga means, this is Shankaracharya's definition, from the apraptasya praptahi yogaha. Damanujacharya has a little difference there. We'll come to that. He mentions there that apraptasya praptahi yogaha. Apraptasya means that you have not reached there yet. Final point in self-realization. You haven't got there yet. You're on your way. You've gone very far. And little problems will come in spiritual life. Little things will come in different ways. But Krishna has to protect us that we don't trip and fall into something else. We don't get misguided. That is Krishna's responsibility. We think that spiritual life is easy. Everything is in our hands, isn't it? That's how we are thinking about it. It's not so. It is in Krishna's hands. Krishna has to make sure that we don't get misled and cheated and driven in the wrong direction. And that is what it's saying here. Apraptasya praptahi yogaha. That means till you get to that point, Krishna has to hold our hand and take us there in every step. At every step. And that is Krishna. You can see yourself, those who have some experience in this world, will know in which all way you can get cheated here. Isn't it? So many ways you can get cheated there. We'll go and meet somebody, someone will say something, we'll take that on board, you follow some time, and one day everything changes. You get feels about it. Everybody feels that. It's not that they don't feel it. You do feel it. And people do feel get cheated about it. And you can see this all the time happening. And then after 30, 40 years, you come to realize that, well, was I properly doing the right thing? But then a lot of time has gone, isn't it, in that process. So Krishna has to protect us that we don't get moved away from the path what Bhagavad Gita is telling us. Bhagavad Gita is for self-realization, nothing else. There's no other business with Bhagavad Gita. If you think that Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita for anything else, that's our foolishness. It's not Krishna's fault. Krishna has only one thing to tell us, that this human body, human life has one benefit, one purpose. And that is to realize the truth, what we are, and get out of this cycle of birth and death once for all. So that is why he's saying here that apraptasya praptahi yogaha. In order to get to that point, apraptasya praptahi yogaha, Krishna is saying here that the shelter, what is required at that time, whatever guidance, help, whatever we need, that is that yoga. Krishna is talking about yogam, isn't it? Yoga kshemam. That yogam is that thing that what is necessary for our own shelter at the time of in spiritual life, whatever help that is needed, Krishna is saying it will come. It will come. It will come. So, look at that. Yogaha apraptasya prapanam. Apraptasya prapanam yogaha. And kshemam means tadrakshanam. Means that it is possible that you are in spiritual life, very seriously you are following, and you want to realize the truth, and you are putting all your effort fixed in that goal. I mean, you are fixed on the goal. But there is a problem there. What is that? Problem is this body. Body can give you trouble, is it not? You can get very sick. You can be put into a situation where you have to endeavor very hard in this world. All they are obstacles which can bodies cause. Because for the sake of maintaining the body, you may have to spend many hours in day, which is a hindrance for your own life, is it not? So when such things happen, Krishna is saying here that tadrakshanam, that protection of the body for a person who is serious, which he talked about the first two lines, ananyas chindayandomam yajanam paribhasade. In his case, Krishna is saying, I'll make sure that his body is always protected. Protected in the sense that he will not fall into serious problems with his body, preventing from getting serious sickness or other inconveniences, whatever that can happen in life. We don't know what can happen. I say anything can happen in life. In Maya's world, everything is possible. So Krishna will make sure that you won't fall into. These things are spoken only for one reason, to make us aware that if we take to Krishna consciousness and spiritual life, there is shelter in Krishna. There is shelter in Krishna. That's the point he is making it here. Pravayami aham mentions there. So, coming back to this, Krishna saying, so, important thing here that, in other words, in the path of the knowledge of the self is yogam. In relationship with the world and the body is kshemam. When it says kshemam, it refers to the body as well as our business in this world. That is shelter. Krishna is the shelter. So, here, a jnani who is situated in this state, adhyal ananishchindayandomam ejanam parivasade. Protection is Krishna, but at the same time, whatever has to happen in this world for him, it will happen, but the bare minimum necessity will be taken care of. What is very bare minimum necessary? Because as far as Krishna is concerned, once you have come to spiritual life, you don't need much. We are not convinced, that's the problem. We are still thinking we need a lot, but in spiritual life we don't need a lot. That's the point Krishna is making here. So therefore he says, one who is seriously in the spiritual path, what does he need? He needs some food to eat, he needs a place to sleep and some clothes to cover the body. Other than that, it's not considered as a necessity. Everything beyond than that is not a necessity. That will not be taken care of. But these things, food, shelter and clothing, what is the very minimum things, that will be given. Does not mean that Krishna will come and hand over to you everything, but it will be there in the life. Material nature will have that availability, is there in the world. So, nothing more than that. What extent it is necessary, that to that extent Krishna will provide the protection. In one famous sannyasi's case, his spiritual master told him that this disciple used to worship Sri Parvati. Parvati is material nature, isn't it? That's her personification of material nature is Sri Parvati. So he used to worship Sri Parvati. So his spiritual master told him, ask the deity whom he was worshipping because he was not very wealthy. He was a very poor person. So his spiritual master told him, you should ask your deity to provide all your necessities in life. But when he went to see the deity, he couldn't ask for it. He said to her that, please give me all the help what I need to develop this knowledge of the self. This was his prayer. Self-realization, what is necessary, support me and help me in that way. He prayed like this to her. When he went back to his spiritual master asked him that, have you got any help from Sri Parvati, from the Parvati Devi? Have you had any help? He says, I didn't ask for anything. I asked for this. Then he sent him again second time. Say to Sri Parvati like this, that you should ask for, because I can see that you coming time and taking over to spiritual life, your family life and material life, everything is in difficulties. They were in a very poor situation. He went back second time to Sri Parvati and said to her, repeated the same thing again. When he got there, he couldn't say anything further. He was always going to her and saying to her that, give me the help what I need in this process of knowledge to realize this truth. This is how he, whatever jnanam that was necessary and bhakti, what was necessary, provide me that. He comes back second time. Second time when he came back, the spiritual master told him, actually I can see that you are not meant to live in this world. That was his answer. Because you have come here with a higher goal than living in this world or to enjoy the things in this world. That's why he couldn't even ask for it. Even the slightest support or help from the deity, he couldn't ask. And that's how that sannyasi became very famous later. He left his body at a very early age. He didn't live very long. These spiritual masters, those who are realized, they can see these things in the disciple. That situation, how it's developing in their life. Because sometimes, and he was very young, this happened at a very early age. He left his body between 35, 40 in that age group. He left his world also. Much earlier than that, when he was 20, 22 itself, as I mentioned yesterday, due to previous samskaram in previous life, already they have gone through everything, but due to some little prarabdham left, they had to come here in some body and spend a few years here, and they go again from here. But while they are here, this few years, you will see, if you look into them and their life, you will see that they had no interest whatsoever in this world. They are on their way back again to leave this world and go back to their spiritual realized state. So this is what has happened. So spiritual master sensed this, and he told him, you will not be able to ask anything from your deity because you are not born for this life in this world, and sent him away. And it so happened that in that person's life, things happened in such a way that the family never had to suffer really for poverty or anything. So in the case of jnanis or great devotees, it is like this. Whichever situation they are in, accordingly, Krishna's power, energy will work in such a way. Material nature will arrange things in such a way, and this power which keeps this material creation going, that power knows how to look after that person who is situated in that state. So here, that is the important point to mention here. And this another interesting thing also, this you may have to verify yourself. There are so many instances this incident has happened. This is not in one place it has happened. In many, many ashrams it has happened. There was a famous sannyasi, Jnanananda Saraswati. He was a very famous Jnanananda ashramam he had. He left this world about 20 years ago. He has gone away. Never will ask anything from anybody. That was his decision. He will not ask anything from anyone. He had a number of disciples who took who were trained by him in Vedanta philosophy and spent a long, long time with him. They had an ashramam, and in that ashram, Jnananda Saraswati used to be there with his disciples. So sometimes people used to come to the ashram, and Jnananda Saraswati was very particular that everybody should be fed with prasadam. That was a system in the ashram. In one occasion, on a special day, few hundred people came to the ashram, visiting the ashram. And the devotees there, they were in a dilemma, what to do. When they went and looked in the kitchen, what was in the kitchen? Half a kilogram of suji, that is what was left in the kitchen. And these few hundred people who had come, they have to be fed. Saraswati was so firm, he said to them, that start the kitchen work, wash the pots and start getting ready, the things will come. Everything what's necessary will come. Strangely enough, within an hour or so, suddenly a person arrived there, one bullock cart full of gunny bags of suji, sugar, butter, everything, and arrived there. You may think that it's a story. It's not a story. This is not in one ashram this happened. It has happened in many, many places. Because these sannyasis, they have that faith in Krishna's words. They have not taken Bhagavad Gita like a slogan. It is not that. For them, that's their life. That faith in Krishna, that Krishna will provide, it was so strong in them. And that was when all the suji arrived and plenty of halwa or upma, whatever they have made, they have fed and they had a good feast with all the devotees who had come. So this is not in one instance. There are so many cases. This is well known that ashram having difficulty with the food supply and at the time when it's necessary, the food arriving at the spot, on the spot. So here, and you'll also see this of course, realized souls can do this. That's not possible in every. This is for those, I'm saying this, is ananyaschindayandomam yojanam parivasati. When Acharya Swamiji went for bhiksha, Brahmachari has to take bhiksha from the mothers, isn't it? Went into one Brahmana's family home and on Ekadashi day asked for bhiksha, Brahmachari's bhiksha. There was nothing in the house. The mother in the house was, tears were coming from her eyes, seeing this young Brahmachari asking for food and to refuse food. She was crying. At that time, standing there, Acharya Swamiji glorified that, one of the most famous compositions known as Kanakadharastavam. Kanakadharastavam means, Kanaka means gold. Seeing her poverty, he stood there and recited 10 verses, and gold started pouring down from the sky. Mahalakshmi came there and supplied everything what was necessary for the family. It's a very famous verses. In all the Lakshmi temples, they recite these verses. Angam hare pulaga bhushanam ashrayandi bhringangan eva mugula bharanam tamalam angigadakala vibhudira pangalila mangalya dastume dastumama mangala devadaya. This is the first verse. There are half a dozen verses which is much more than that, goes like that, about what is known as Kanakadhara. So, Kanakadhara. Kanakadhara means this showering of gold. This has happened. Now, this will only happen to those who are in that realized state. Suppose we memorize all these verses and thinking that gold will come, it won't come. I will say that so. Just like people make issue out of this. Sudama went to Krishna with a little flat rice, isn't it? And when Sudama came home, he saw the golden palace there, everything in gold. So if we do follow, imitate Sudama, it won't happen. For Sudama it will happen, but for us it won't happen. The important point is, they are the one ananyaschindayandoma. That is what we have to understand. All the great acharyas, personalities like Sudama, they are all ananyaschindayandoma. That is the difference. Ordinary people, we want everything from Krishna, but we want to keep it to ourselves, and that is where this problem is. So ananyaschindayandoma means this, that personalities like them, no matter whether they ask or not, it will come. It has to come. Krishna felt difficult with Sudama, isn't it? If you know that in the Bhagavatam. Krishna was finding it difficult. He didn't know how to deal with him because he won't ask anything. This is where the problem is. Whereas, that is why when Krishna sees us, he runs away. When Krishna sees Sudama, he is willing to receive him. He goes out, all the way out to take him into the palace. When he sees us, he stays away as safe as possible because he knows that these are very difficult clients to deal with. So he's fully conscious of that. That is why you will see in the bhakti process, when you stop asking, that is what develops bhakti. Remember, in the Ekadasya Skandam, Krishna says to Uddhava, Nirabeksham munim shandam naruvairam samadarshinam anubrajamyaham nityam puyeyetyangrirenubhi. There is a famous, a first class devotee, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, is like this, Nirabeksham munim shandam. He will not ask anything. That is his greatest quality. This asking business is not a good thing. Once you start asking, then Krishna finds it be difficult. So long as he stops asking, Krishna is saying that is his greatest asset. He won't ask anything. Munim shandam naru eiram samadarshinam. And this was the problem with Sudama. He won't ask anything. He won't ask anything. And therefore, Krishna had the greatest difficulty with Sudama. Whereas for us, everything is welcome. That's what the difference is. So, all of these important incidents I'm saying in life of these great personalities to show that this verse is the truth as far as they are concerned. Sudama is concerned, Acharya Swamiji is concerned, Ramanuja is concerned, these verses are perfect because it means what it says. It means what it says. All great devotees, you will see Janeshwari's life, you will see in the case of Ekanath Swami, Tukaram, everybody, they all vouch for this verse. Once it so happened, two brothers, they live together. And they had ancestral property. This is long, long away, back. So, the elder brother was very much involved in spiritual life. Younger brother was more into the management side of the property and assets. So, younger brother was a little bit unhappy that the elder brother didn't have much interest in the managing the property and managing their business and things like that. So, for a long time, there was uneasiness, but they were living together, all as a joint family, they were living together. So, in one instance, what happened was, the elder brother once said to the younger brother, I just want to go on a pilgrimage to many places, and I won't be back for another year or so, because them days people had to travel walking long, long distance. And he wanted to go to all the places like Haridwar, Rishikesh, and Kedarnath, Badrinath, everywhere. And walking means a lot of time, isn't it? You can say years and years it take. So he told this to younger brother. Younger brother told him that if you want to go, that's fine. But how are you going to support yourself during the journey? He said, the elder brother said, look, I'm going to go, and wherever I can beg, I will beg. Whatever I need, I'll collect it from the food, what I'll get from the public, and I'll keep walking in that way. That's how he planned to go. He said, that's fine. So he went on this pilgrimage. After a couple of years, he came back after the pilgrimage. By the time he came back, the younger brother thought, the elder brother is not going to come back. Once you go to all the way to Kedarnath, then those days it was like that. Nowadays you can land there with a helicopter right in front of Lord Shiva. The helipad is there. You go and land right in front of him. You have your darshan 30 minutes or something, back to in the helicopter and back. This is today. But them days were different. Those places were full of forest. The rishis and the sages, they lived because of that. So, they were thinking that he will never come back, because it was like that. Once you're gone on a trip like that, the chances of you walking back all the way from, you can imagine, from Kanyakumari to all the way to Kedarnath and walking back means it's a long time affair. So, he thought he won't come back. Meanwhile, the younger brother, who was a little bit shrewd and astute in material life, he did some transactions with the property, their ancestral property, and divided his wealth and given it to his children, everything, and he was settled down very well in his own life. One day it so happened the elder brother arrived back on the scene. When he came back, the situation has changed completely. Everything has changed completely. So, that day, he realized it that himself, his own survival in this world was very difficult because the way things have happened over a period of time. So when he spoke to his younger brother said that if you had spent so much time in pilgrimage and so much spiritual life, now whomever you have depended on, he should protect you. I can't help you because I never thought you were going to come back and ask for all these kind of things. That was his reply from there. So the elder brother didn't get upset with him. That is spiritual understanding. He said to him that is fine, that if Krishna has looked after me all these years, will he not look after me again? That dependency on Krishna's shelter was so strong in him that as this discussion was going on, there was somebody knocking at the door. Open the door, it was saying. So, when it was going on, he was reading Bhagavad Gita and he was reading these words, Ananya Chindayandam, because after discussing with his younger brother, he was in a very shocked state. He came here thinking that he'll be able to live, but when he saw the situation was like this, and he was saying that either this verse in the Bhagavad Gita is wrong. In that is the case, because if Krishna doesn't protect me, then this guarantee has no meaning, isn't it? So what he did was, those days they didn't have this ink pen or anything. They had what they call as the needle, what which they used to write. He took that and he started cutting off this particular verse from Bhagavad Gita. He said, this verse is not correct. He cut it off, that verse, with that needle what they used to write. Because in those days they had this palmyra leaves, and on the leaves it is a metallic needle with which you write on that. That was their way they wrote. He took that needle and cut off these words from the Bhagavad Gita. When he cut these words with the needle, there was a knock on this door. And when they opened the door, there was a lady standing there with the blood coming out from her eyes. And she says to them that, "I have been sent here with a huge basket with a lot of wealth in there, jewels and other things." He left it there and she was going to disappear from there. He asked her who she is. Before she could say anything, she disappeared. But he remembered this blood that was coming from her eyes. What was that blood? Because when he cut off these words in the Bhagavad Gita, it is Bhagavad Gita who has come in that form there. And it was just like a striking on her own face. In other words, it has upset her so much that she had to provide all what was necessary for his life for the future. She brought this. This incident happened long ago. It is there in the old books. If you look, you will find this incident about the Bhagavad Gita's position. So you have to be careful when we start using Bhagavad Gita for wrong purposes. We could be end up in trouble also. It's not that Bhagavad Gita is a Krishna's words. It is, and it is the absolute truth. There is no question of changing anything in there, interpreting it in a different way. What Krishna is talking about is straightforward truth. It is. So this is one incident. So main thing is, from this verse to understand, if there is no desire, ananyatvam will come. Ananyatvam comes from freedom from desire. Krishna says freedom from desire is the greatest qualification for spiritual life. Freedom from desires. So that is the way it is. That's the way it is. So yoga kshemam vaham. Aham vahami yoga kshemam. Yogamam kshemam aham vahami. So in all great personalities, Mahapurushas, in their spiritual life, Krishna is looking after. That is another important thing. If you have reached that state, means freedom from any desire, and you are fixed in your spiritual life, that nishtha, jnana nishtha, as it is called, that is Krishna's responsibility. Krishna makes sure that it is taken care of. So at that point, what is necessary, we may suppose something is desired by a jnani. Desire means jnani also has desires, in the sense that is not in terms of his own well-being. But in his life in this world, if any need comes, Krishna makes sure that somebody will make that happen. Because they don't need anything for themselves, and if anything has to happen through that body, all arrangements Krishna has to arrange. Krishna arranges everything, otherwise it not happen. So, and even when that happens, their attitude will be, it has happened by Krishna's arrangement. It has happened. They will never get affected by that. They will not take shelter of anything, and they didn't expect anything else from Krishna. So, all these things are indicating to us, only one thing is, ananyas chindayendomam yajanam paryupasate, whose upasana is ananyatvam, with ananyatvam. So, whatever service necessary for that person, whatever help that is necessary, it will be there in the prakriti. Material nature will make sure that facility is there for him when it is necessary. So, and in many, many different bodies, devotees will be protected by Krishna under all time. So, who is that? Because it is the same Antaryami who is present in everyone, isn't it? So, that this guarantee is what is this verse. This verse is nothing but a guarantee. So one should not think, if one is following the process of knowledge, Jnanamargam, or if he is following the process of bhakti, it does not matter. It applies in both. Not only in bhakti margam, it applies in Jnanamargam as well. Because it is, in the Jnani's analysis, it is like this. Who looked after the baby while in the womb? of the mother. Who was looking after, who is looking after us in the womb, when we were in the womb of the mother? Then how did the milk arrive through the mother's breast for the baby to suck? How did the milk arrive at that proper time when it was needed? So mother didn't take a milk bottle inside, did she? It came at the time when it was needed. So that sanyavanam, sanyavanam means the breast milk that was given to us, who is arranging that at that time? So scientists will tell you, oh, it is all nature. Nature's arrangement is like that, they will say. Well, who is doing this nature? Who is making that facility available in every mother when it is necessary to provide? So sometimes you can see this. You can give a scientific explanation to it, whichever way you like it. That's another thing. But logically, with your own mind, if you think about it, you can see how this Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yogakshemam Mahamyaham is working even in the nature. In the nature, that law works. Krishna's protection power is working even in the nature. So just like, remember this mentioned before, that a cat had a baby. The mother died. Another cat comes and gives some milk to this baby. So where did the milk come from? The other cat? Other cat hasn't delivered a baby. These are quite common. You will see in the YouTube, they have put this thing, these pictures also. A cat had some kittens, but the cat died after the babies were born. Immediately there was another cat comes and feeds these kittens. So where did the milk come from that cat? How is that arrangement? Who made the arrangements for that? So that will come because it is not due to our cleverness or our ability that it is being and arranged. We don't have to be frightened about that. We need to live with that full conviction in this world. So that is that verse, Ananyas Chindayandomam Yajanam Parivasade Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yogakshemam Vahamyaham, Krishna says. Now if you look into Bhagavadam, three kinds of bhakti has been spoken, is it not? Three kinds of bhakti in the Ekadasha Skandam you will see. Our Navayogi Nimi Samvadam, Hari Maharshi talks about three kinds of bhakti. Prakritam, Madhyamam, Uttamam. Prakritam means the Kanishthadhikari, lower class bhakti. It is bhakti, but in a lower level. Then the medium level, Madhyama bhakti, and Uttama bhakti, first class bhakti. Prakritam means very crude. Prakritam means very crude. Samskritam means very pure, purified. So that is the difference between, opposite of Prakritam is Samskritam. The language Sanskrit is called like that because it's very purified language. Therefore it's called Samskritam. So Prakritam means very crude. Samskritam means very purified. So this Prakrita Bhakti, that is a word used in the Bhagavadam that you have to take note of. It didn't say Kanishtha Dhyari. What did it say? Prakrita Bhakta. If you look into the words, you will see there. The word says like that. A bhakta prakrita sma, he says. If you look there, that is the chapter 3. Chapter 2, Ekadasha Skandam, chapter 2, verse 47. If you look into the words there, you will see, Archayame Vaharaye. Pujam ya shraddaye hade nadat bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smridaha archayameva haraye pujam ya shraddaye hade nadal bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smridaha. Prakritam means this, that he has bhakti, but it is in a very, very impure state. Samskrita means very purified. Bhakti has come to a very pure state. So bhakti also in a prakritam state is a very impure state. So that quality, that is what it is mentioned there. In the impure state, how it will be? Prakrita smrita. What is that? Archayam eva haraye, pujayam shraddaye hada. That means he is very much busy with the deity, deity worship. Very absorbed in the deity worship. And thinking that all spiritual life is centered around that deity worship. In other words, Tattvajnanam has not happened. He hasn't understood Shastram, but he is doing this what he can in that state. That is the Prakrita Smrita. What he says, Archayam eva haraye. Archana. Archana means deity worship. And then Pujayam Shraddaye Hada. That his all attention is on puja, deity worship. Na tad bhakteshu cha anyeshu. And he does not know anything else apart from that. 24 hours he is busy with that, deities. That's all. And there is no knowledge of the proper understanding of Krishna. Na tad bhakteshu cha anyeshu. He does not know that he should go into Salsangam, hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and get a proper understanding of bhakti. That hasn't happened to him. Such a person, na tad bhakteshu cha anyeshu, savai bhaga, sad bhakta prakrita smrita. Such a devotee, he is a devotee, but he is in that state of prakrita, prakrita bhakti. Sad bhakta prakrita smrita, Krishna is saying, Hari is saying, sad bhakta prakrita smrita. So here, that person, his attention is always in the deity. His attention is always on the deity. And only there his attention is, nowhere else. And he can only see Krishna is concerned, it's only in the deity, nowhere else for him. It doesn't exist anywhere else. And he has not come to another state or another devotees or other living entities, he is unable to see Krishna anywhere. He has not come to that level. Unable to see Krishna anywhere or in other living entities, or even presence of Krishna anywhere is difficult for him to accept in that state. You will see this with many people, that for them, they will hold on to temple very strongly, because if you come out of the temple, they will fall. That fear always inside. If they are not in the temple, they are finding it very difficult. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here, they are thinking that Krishna is there only, nowhere else, only in that temple. Such a person is called Prakrita Bhakta. Prakrita. Tad Bhakteshu Prakrita Smrita. Krishna is saying here. Isn't it? So he is saying here. You may think like this, that such devotees are there a lot in this world. You may think like that, isn't it? But many people are not like that. This is our misunderstanding also. Sometimes we think like this, that a lot of people belong to that category. But it is not true also. So, because there are other people, they live their life in this world, material life in other words. And when they are in difficulties, they will go to the temple. See the difference there? This Prakrita Bhakta, he is in spiritual life, but he can only relate with the deity. He can't relate with other devotees. He can't relate with realized souls. He can't relate with Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. He can relate with the deity. You may think that 90% of the people are like that. No, it's not. There's only few people in that. 90% of the people are those who are in trouble when they'll come to the temple. Ask for what they want, and if they got it, they'll go. If they haven't got it, they will say it's all a waste of time and they'll not come again. This is the majority. So there's a difference there between the Prakrita Bhakta and the other one. So this person who is worshipping the deity in the temple, but where he cannot relate with anything except with the deity, he may not have much of material desires. He has come to spiritual life, but he has somehow understood that he should do deity worship. Other things somehow he cannot take it on board. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and hearing and analyzing, all that is a bit difficult for him. So what he does, he takes shelter of deity and lives like that. They are not too bad. But those who are coming to the temple to ask the deity for something, which is the 90% actually, they are not devotees. They are actually the devotee of their desire. The desire's devotee they are. You see the difference there? We may think that every belongs to that category. No, that is why these ones who are coming 90% to the temple with the desires inside, or to have some agenda in their head or plans in their head, whatever it is, they are not even considered as devotees. Whereas this person who is serving the deity, but he hasn't developed a higher proper tattva-jnanam, knowledge hasn't developed, but he is serving Krishna in the deity form, he is accepted as a devotee. But he is a prakrita bhakta. Archaya meva haraye, where it says, isn't it? Tal bhakta prakrita smrita. But the other one who is coming to the temple on, say, special days, occasions, and come to the temple, and when they come, it is full of desires inside. And you may think, oh, dear, such great devotee has come today, and they are with the eyes closed, with folded hands, they are standing there. But they are not even put into the list of devotees. They are not even accepted as devotees. They have come because they have a problem. That's why they have come. They have some desire, they have some need, some shelter. Therefore, they had come temporarily. And when the purpose, business is finished, they'll go. They won't come again. You may see them next year on the same day, probably. We know this sometimes when you observe some people, you'll see this in them. So they are devotees of their desire. Devotees of their desire. But it is only here that kind of persons are not discussed in the Bhagavatam. Not discussed in the Bhagavatam. But it is only while coming like that, if by chance they get attracted to Krishna somehow. If by chance it gets happened to them, he may turn out to be a prakrita bhakta. From that state, from desire state, he may become to the state of a prakrita bhakta. So, and very, if it goes on by Krishna's grace, if the prarabdham is not a problem, it's possible that they will become first-class devotees later. They'll become first-class devotees later. You will see this in the case of many, many devotees. This has happened. If you look into devotees' life, many devotees' lives, sometimes you will see these interesting things. They, not that everybody was born day one as pure devotee in this world. They also had to go through a lot of these things in their life. In their life. So in Shivananda Lahari, there is a verse about that which mentions like this, that that this is about one of the famous devotees of Lord Shiva. And this famous devotee, he didn't know anything. He had no idea what is spiritual life or tattva jnanam, nothing. He was a hunter in the forest. Hunter in the forest. So what he did, he somehow developed an attachment to one of the Shivalingam in the forest. And he started his deity worship in his own style. No shastram, nothing to follow. In his own way. He used to take his shoes and rub the Shivalingam nicely to keep it, make it clean, because that's all what he had to do. He had no pots or anything, because they were like more like in that state, the hunters who live in the forest. So he used to bring water from the river, fill it in his mouth, bring it over and spit it on the Shivalingam. That was his method of worship. So in Shivananda Lahari, Acharya Swami mentions about that. He says, Margam Vartida Paduga Pashupate Angasya Kurchayate Gandu Shambunushechanam Puraripor Divyabhishekayate Angasya Kurchayate. Kurcham. Kurcham means, Kurcham is used in the Vaidika tradition. Kurcham means very sharp grass. Very sharp grass. So, anything that is sharp is Kurcham. It's generally referred to Kurcham. Kusha grass is also sometimes referred as Kurcham. Brahmanas use that word, Kurcham. So, Kurcham is anything that is very sharp. So he thought that he had some shoes or something which was very sharp. He thought, I'll use that for rubbing and cleaning the deity. That's what he was using there. Angasya kurchayate. Gandusham nishejanam puraipor divyabhishekayate. Gandusham means, if you fill something into your mouth and if you spit it out, what will happen? That will come out, isn't it? Spit it out. And that is how, that was his abhishek for the deity. You will see this word Gandusham in Krishna Karnamritam. What happened was, Krishna went to one gopi's house. And in that gopi's house, one gopi were particularly upset with Krishna. So what she did was, she took all the butter, milk, everything in different pots, and one on top of the other, she hung it up from the roof. It was hanging from the roof. So that day, Krishna came with a few friends and opened the door. He knew that everything was stored in that room. When he opened the door, he saw, this gopi is very clever. He knows I am very small. I am only two, three years old. I can't reach there. So what he did was, he told his friends, you bring all the stool what's available in the house. Gopi was hiding inside the room, behind the door, to watch who is, because every time Gopi went and complained to Yashoda Devi, Yashoda won't accept complaint. Yashoda says, my son is very good son, he doesn't do any such thing. So all her complaint, this Gopi's complaint was all rejected. So today, Gopi thought, when he comes here, let me see what he's going to do. If he does any nonsense here, I'll hold him by the hand and take him back to Yashoda. And here is the proof. And that was her plan that day. So she was standing behind the door, and Krishna went with his friends, opened the door and got inside. When he got into the room, he saw this. He says to the friends, this Gopi is very clever. That she knew what she has to, how to get rid of me from here. But I'm not going to go away like this, he said. So what Krishna did that day was, told the friends, Krishna thought this Gopi is not there. Told whatever the stool, what was there in the room, brought it in. Told one of the cowherd boys to stand on top of that. Krishna got on top of that and with the flute beat the pot from the bottom, and the thing started coming out from inside. The yogurt and the buttermilk, everything was flowing out. And Krishna drank happily as much as he wanted and told others to drink. It kept on coming from there. And this gopi inside was in a terrible angry mood, because not only that, she has lost all butter and even the pot is gone. Everything is gone. It was her asset, isn't it? They are very attached to their pots, isn't it? Their butter pots and milk pots. So at one point, when Krishna had filled her mouth, Krishna has filled his mouth with this buttermilk, Gopi thought this is the right time to catch him, and came out from the door, back to the door, and held Krishna's hands. As soon as Gopi held Krishna's hands, Krishna spat the whole thing on Gopi's face. Vilumangalam says, Gandusha Fulkarakral. That is what he used, Gandusham. Gandusham means this. Spat the whole thing on the Gopi's face. Whole thing on the Gopi's face. Actually, it was Krishna's mercy. Nobody knew about this. It's much later it came out. Gopi, when Krishna spat this, Gopi couldn't see anything, because the whole mouth, face, everything covered with this milk and butter, everything. So she left him because she couldn't see anything. Krishna escaped from there, went back home. The boys punished Gopi like this and left. Gopi afterwards came to Yashoda to make this complaint. Gopi says to Yashoda that today also your son came. And then Yashoda asked what happened. What happened? Gopi says to Yashoda, what happened? He came, I was waiting, I knew he will come, and I knew he will do some nonsense like this. And this is what he did. So, few days before this Gopi had a problem with the eye. She didn't have a proper, her eyesight was fading. And she has mentioned that to Yashoda. So Yashoda asked Gopi, what happened to you now? He says, I don't know what happened. After he spat all this milk on my eyes, my eyesight has become much better now. I can see much better. Actually, that was Krishna's plan. Krishna didn't want that Gopi to suffer. And by this pastime in the Bhagavatam, it is in the Garga Bhagavatam, this mentioned about that, that only intention Krishna was, even though it was a mischief, it was actually to protect that gopi. And so Yashoda asked the gopi, so why are you complaining about it? You're feeling better now. Gopi also laughed. Both of them had a good laugh and she went home. Gopi went home. In other words, what you have to remember is that in all Krishna's pastimes, in the 10th canto what you read, there is no time you will find anywhere, anybody getting upset with Krishna at any time. That is the beauty of Krishna. So this word, Gandusham, Gandusham Munushejanam Puraripur Divyabhishekayate, that Gandusham means this is the way this devotee was offering to Shiva. Kinjal Bakshidam Amsashesha Kabalam. Sometimes he wanted to make an offering to the deity, to Shiva. How was the offering? Went and killed some animal and brought the fresh flesh from the animal and made the offering with that to the deity. Kabalam Navyobaharayate Bhakti Kimna Karodyaho Vanacharo Bhaktavadam Sayate. That you have accepted him as a devotee. And I am here, sitting here, Ajari Swami says to Shiva, what do you want me to do? You want me to do the same thing so that you will accept me as a devotee? I have done everything what I can. I have worshipped you. I have wrote all these verses about you. I have glorified you in every way I can. But still, you are not seems to be pleased with me. This is in the Shivananda Lahari. This was the one famous song written in Mallikarjuna Swami temple. Very famous temple, Lord Shiva's temple, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is the first temple he visited on his journey to the travel to the south. This is the first temple which he visited, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pays obeisances to Mallikarjuna Swami. You will see that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita story. It's on the top of the hill, a very famous temple, and that is called Sri Shailam. The place is called Sri Shailam. Shailam means hill. And Mallikarjuna is the deity there, Lord Shiva's deity. That is where this pastime happened between Shiva and Arjuna. Arjuna got his Pashupatastram from there. Lord Shiva and Arjuna had a big fight there. And in that fight, Arjuna smashed Shiva's head with the bow. And Arjuna, Shiva was so pleased with that courage in Arjuna. Eventually, Shiva showed his real form to him and Arjuna paid his obeisances there and handed over Pashupatam to him and told him, this will come useful to you later. Thinking about Mahabharata war, Shiva knew that this is going to happen. And so that's that place where this happened, Sri Shailam, Mallikarjuna Swami temple. So it is in that place this was compiled, and Ajari Swami mentions there to Mallikarjuna Swami, Lord Shiva there, that Bhakti kim na karodyaho vanacharo. Vanacharo means one who lives in the forest. And his bhakti you are willing to accept, his devotion. What's wrong with me, he says. What do I have to do to become a devotee like that? That's why. Vanacharo bhakta avatam amshayate. So this is that bhakti. Bhakti is difficult to understand sometimes. So how will you categorize that person? He is Prakrita bhakti. Isn't it? Prakritam he is. But he is a bhakta, he is a devotee at the same time. So he doesn't know anything else. He was doing what he knew about it. So you will see, these devotees are there in this world. Even they are there. We may not know about them. There are devotees like that. So sometimes you can see that their lifestyle is like that. What can you do? You will see sometimes some programs on the BBC. They bring people who are living in the forest, isn't it? Aborigines. In South America, in Africa, in many places like that, they'll bring aborigines and show it to us that look how they are living in the forest in that way. So, but here you can see that this devotee, and eventually he was accepted by Lord Shiva, and then he became a first class devotee later. So that is Prakrita Bhakti. It is just an example of that Prakrita Bhakti. What is the next one? The Madhyama Bhakti, isn't it? Madhyama Bhakti, if you see, what does Krishna, Hari says about that? He says, Ishware taradhineshu balisheshu dushal sucham premam maitri kripa upeksha yakarodisa madhyama. That is Madhyama Bhakti.
What is that? Ishware tad adhineshu balisheshu dushalsuja premam maitri kriba ubecha yakaryodi samadhyamaha. So there the difference is that they have gone a little higher than the prakrita stage, than the crude bhakti stage. They have gone a little bit higher. What is the situation? When they see devotees, they will feel some attachment to the devotee. If they see someone else also is interested in spiritual life, they will feel an attraction towards him. They will feel an attraction. Some friendship comes in their heart. And they want to spend time with them, with other devotees, association with them. And also, they will also have a premam. There is attraction for Krishna. There is attraction for Krishna. Friendship to the devotees. When they see non-devotees who have no interest in spiritual life and who are demonic in nature, but also sometimes against the spiritual life, when they see them, they'll feel some compassion for them. Compassion for them. That they have fallen into this state. Isn't it? That a human life which Krishna has given us for realizing a higher value, for higher principle in life, that they are not feeling any attraction to spiritual life. They feel sorry for them. And therefore, kripa, mercy. They feel, they show their grace to them, that they won't mix with them, but they'll feel compassion for them. And then what else? Ubeksha. Ubeksha means there are people, many people in this world who are very innocent. We can't say anything about it. They are innocent people. Innocent means they are not against Krishna consciousness, but they are not interested in Krishna consciousness. There are people in this world. Towards them, it is, Krishna is saying, Hari is saying here, Premam Maitri Kripa Upeksha. You have to just leave them. There's nothing you can do about them. So these various category of people, how they relate with them, their desire is that when they see people who have no bhakti, they think that that they feel compassion, that when will they have developed some bhakti in the heart. They desire that everybody must be a devotee. Everybody must be a devotee. Then what else they do? They will chant the holy name. They will engage in sankirtanam. And they will be interested in propagating Krishna consciousness. These are all symptoms of a devotee in that middle order. Madhyama bhakta. Madhyama bhakta. And those who are against Krishna consciousness, they ignore them, avoid them, and he doesn't feel anything against them. That is the... But very soon, he will also become a first-class devotee. In course of time, he will also become a first-class devotee. That is the Madhyama Bhakta. And then the first-class category, Uttama Bhakta. Sarvabhudeshu yapashyen bhagaval bhavamalpana Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottamaha. Sarvabhudeshu yapashyen bhagaval bhavamalpana Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottamaha. First class devotee, Hari is saying, Sarvabhudeshu yapashyen bhagaval bhavam. Bhagaval bhavam, Krishna's presence in everyone. He has already come to that understanding. He cannot look at anybody without recognizing that it is Krishna who is present in that body. That is that state. Sarva bhudeshu yapashyel bhagavad bhavam. Bhagavad bhavam means recognition of Krishna in everyone. And bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. Isn't it? That's what it says. Sarva bhudeshu yapashyel bhagavad bhavam alpana. Bhudani bhagavatyalpa esha bhagavadottama. Bhudani bhagavatyalpa esha bhagavadottama. What else? He is seeing that everyone is completely dependent on Krishna. That's how he can see. He cannot see anyone totally independent of Krishna. Krishna is present in everyone and everybody is present in Krishna. This understanding. Krishna is present in everyone. He is seeing that. He is also saying that everybody is present in Krishna. In other words, Antaryami realization is perfect in him. He is perfectly realized the Antaryami aspect of Krishna. So that is what he is saying. Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana. What is a Bhava means? That state where he is in. How does he say? Alpanyaha Bhagavad Bhavam. In other words, in his own soul, he is seeing it as Krishna's presence, as the soul inside, and he sees that Krishna as his own soul and the soul of everybody else in this world. And all living entities are in Krishna. Bhudani Bhagavatyesha. And where is that Krishna? Atmani, in his own soul. In his own soul. Who is present inside as his own soul and present as the Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama. That who is present inside me as my Swarupam or Atma, that is Krishna. In other words, he has reached that state. This is the first class devotee. So if you understand that words, if somebody asks who is a first class devotee, the answer is that words. Sarva bhudeshu ya pashyen bhagaval bhavam atmana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottamam bhagavadottama. So normally devotee, you may say like this. As a devotee, you may say Bhagavadottama. The same applies to, if it is a jnani, you will say Jivan Mukta, is liberated soul. Or jnani, Jivan Mukta, in different names. Personality is the same, but he is known in different names. In the Bhagavadam, because it is referred to bhakti, it is called Bhagavadottama, first class devotee, pure devotee, as we say. Or in the Jnanamargam, if you address it, it is addressed in this way, that he is addressed as the jnani or Jivan Mukta state. So these three states, Prakrita Bhakti, Madhyama Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti, the three states of bhakti. The first class devotee will be useless in Vyavahara. This is the difficulty. When once you come to the Uttama Bhakta stage, he will not be able to conduct Vyavaharam in this world. It will be a great difficulty for him. So, because the reason for that is, Krishna mentioned, this is, if you can look into the Bhagavatam, you will see why it is like that. We have to know these things, because otherwise we misunderstand. While understanding bhakti, the intricacies of bhakti, the technicalities of bhakti is important to know. Krishna is saying here, if you look into that verse, na kama karma bijanam, verse 50, in the same second chapter, na kama karma bijanam yasya chedasi sambhavaha vasudevaika nilayaha savai bhagavadottamaha. That is the reason. That means this first class devotee or pure devotee, he will not be able to do Vyavaharam properly in this world. Vyavaharam means the business in this world. He cannot do it. He simply cannot do it because na kamya karma bijanam yasya chedasi sambhavaha. Kamya karma. Kamya karma means fruitive activity. Fruitive activity, if you have that desires and fruitive activity in you, only then you can do Vyavaharam properly. It is difficult otherwise. Is it not? It's a fact, isn't it? When we conduct business, you have to be shrewd. Why you have to be shrewd? Because there is desire inside. Kami karma bijam. That seed of fruitive activities, desire, is still inside. As long as it is there, you can conduct Vyavaharam properly. Otherwise, it's difficult to conduct Vyavaharam in this world. But for this pure devotee's case, the problem is there is not even a trace of material desire inside. Therefore, any time when they engage in Vyavaharam, it will all end up in problems. Somebody will cheat them and go. Somebody will cheat them and go. All devotees have to suffer this. It always happens. Because they cannot even think in terms of doing anything in the material world in the proper way. Because material world is full of wheelings and dealings, isn't it? To get through all the wheeling dealing is very difficult here. Unless you are very sharp enough, you get cheated everywhere. So that is the problem. Therefore,
for a pure devotee who is seeing Krishna's presence in everyone, if somebody is trying to come and cheat him, he is thinking, is also Krishna's presence there? How can I do business with him? If you start thinking like this, you cannot do vyavaharam in this world. It's impossible. So that is the reason pure devotees cannot do vyavaharam. It's not possible. Why? Na kamya karma bijanam. There is not the seed of fruitive desire inside. Fruitive activity, there is not even a trace of it inside. They are so pure that they have reached that stage of... So when you read that, you will say, oh, I don't want to become a pure devotee because I won't be able to live in this world after that. So that's the next thing what will happen, isn't it? And that is what has to happen at the end. Only then you can escape from here. Otherwise, what it means is, when we leave this world, all that wheeling and dealing what we have done here will go with us. And because the wheeling and dealing is not complete, again we have to come back to complete the wheeling and dealing here. So there's no escape from that. That's why before we leave this world, we have to finish up everything here. Not even a trace of vasana should be left inside. In the Bhagavadam, it is coming later. In the Bhikshu Gita, you will see this. You know what happened this Brahmana's case, isn't it? Avanti Brahmana, what did he say? Kaschil klesha arjitartham kshaya vimalamadir nudhyamano janauge. What happened to this Brahmana? Brahmana, well, he was a Brahmana, but he was very greedy for money. It happens like that sometimes. Generally, Brahmanas are not supposed to be greedy for money. But this particular Brahmana's case, what happened was, it so happened that he was desiring for wealth. And he accumulated so much wealth. So much wealth he accumulated. And one day, what happened? The house caught on fire. Everything gone. He won't even give it to his wife and children for their maintain them properly. He will be very miserly towards them also. When all these things happen, when the house got fire one day, everybody from the other houses, they came and they looked what they can get out of the house. Everybody took the full opportunity to get whatever they can from the house. When this happened, almost the same time, he upset the king at that time. That means the king decided to tax him very heavily. A lot of money was taken out from him through taxation. And the house got fire. Wife and children, they all left him and went away. They didn't stay with him anymore. And added to all these things, when that opportunity came, thieves entered into the house and looted the whole place. Remember a year or 2 years ago when we had looting happened in London? You remember? They showed on the television photos all young people getting into all the best shops and taking whatever they can and running away. And it all on the camera. And later on, the police bringing and showing the camera to everybody. These are the people who have done a lot of these things. So this happens then and this happens today also. It's not much different. That's what I'm saying. Then also the same thing happened. Only thing, there were no cameras then. Today we have got camera. But mentality hasn't changed. People's mentality is exactly the same. When you get an opportunity, you thief, steal. Wherever you can get it. Their argument was that, why should we not have it? It's Christmas time. Why not? Why not get everything what we want? It's there in the shops. Some of them were running away with good jackets. Some of them were taking television sets. Some students. And some of them were working even in the bank. They were carrying certain things. Whatever comes in the hand, that's fine. It's very handy. Let it come. They were loading the car and police is photographing. They're standing there. It's just snowing everywhere at that time. So anyway, in this Brahmana's case, what happened was, thieves entered and stolen everything, all his wealth, because there was no proper banking system like today. Everything was stored in the house. House got in fire and the king turned against him. He was a very wealthy businessman. When all these things happened, he left home. He left home and he moved away from there. And he sang a song, Krishna says. This happened when Krishna was in the school. This happened in Avanti. And you will see, Krishna mentions there that this Avanti Brahmana, that means it must have been during Krishna's childhood, when Krishna and Balaram and Sudama together getting educated in the school. So one evening, this is how devotees talk about that, when Krishna and Balaram and Sudama went for a walk, and that's when they met this Brahmana. Krishna met this Brahmana. And Krishna says what happened with that meeting, Krishna and the Brahmana, and kept that in his thoughts. And later on, while talking to Uddhava, Krishna brought up this whole issue about this Brahmana's life. What did he say there? Kaschil klesharjidartha kshaya vimalamatir mudhyamano janaughem pragevam prahavi pro nakhalumama jana kala karma grahava chedo me dukha hedu tadiha gunaganam bhavayal sarvagari tektva shando gatastvam mamaja kuru vibo tadrishim chitta shandim. In one verse, that whole Bhikshu Gita in the Srimad Bhagavatam is condensed in this one verse. How does it say? Kaschil klesharjidartham. That Brahmana has worked very hard to make this wealth, what he has done. And he says, Kshaya vimala madir nugdhyamano janoghe. But what happened to him with this experience, with the thieves and the government and the fire at the house? He lost everything. He lost Nudhyamano Janoge. Prageva Prahavipra Nakalu Mama Jana Kala Karma Grahava. Brahmana is saying, at that time, Krishna is saying this, quoting this Brahmana, Nakalu Mama Jana Kala Karma Grahava. I have fallen into these situations. I should not blame anybody, he says. I should not blame my people. They are not responsible for this. I should not blame the king. He is not responsible for this. I shouldn't blame my karma either. That's not the reason behind it. I should not blame the planets, he says. They are not responsible for this. Nakhalu mama jana kala karma grahava. It is none of them are responsible. Then what is it? Chedo me dukha hedu. My whole problem is my own mind. Nobody else is to be blamed. Chedo me dukha hedu tadiha gunaganam bhavayat sarvagari. I got victimized by my own mind, he says. We'll discuss this in detail when Bhikshu Gita comes in the Bhagavatam. Chedo me dukha hedu tadiha gunaganam bhavayal sarvagari. This whole problem is gunaganam. Gunaganam means three modes of material nature. That is in me, especially in the mind. When the three modes of material nature is inside my mind, what's happening then? Tektva shando gatastvam. I have lost my shandi inside. Shandi means peace. Because to lament about something in this world, what you have lost, or to feel happy about something in this world, what you have gained, both of them is wrong. Because there is nothing you can take it from here. Nothing is going to go with you. Everything comes and goes. And to get disturbed over that in your mind and to think that it is going to disturb your shandi inside, that is wrong. That's why in Narayaniyam when it came, he said, Tektva shando gadastvam mamaja kuri vibho tadrishim chitta shandim. Chitta shandi is more important, not the wealth what is gone. For spiritual life, chitta shandi is more important, more than anything else. So, Melpattu said this to Krishna in Narayaniyam, summarizing these whole words of Bhikshu Gita to him. So, the point is here that devotee will come to this understanding one day. The Brahmana was very fortunate that he was able to cut off everything in one stretch. He says, nobody is responsible for this misfortune. I don't blame the planets. I don't blame my karma. I don't blame anybody else in this world. It is chedo me dukha hedu. My own mind is the cause of all my problems. He said like that, isn't it? So, so mainly the important thing is to remember here, when realization comes, you will be going inward. This is the proof of that. When that realization happens, very difficult to say.
It can happen any time. Now, when distress came to him, it helped him to realize the truth. Is it not? Normally, that Brahmana was not willing to listen to anybody. He won't listen to anyone. And that person, without anybody telling him anything, Antaryami inside told him the right thing to him. Chedo me dukkha hedu tadiha gunaganam bhavayal sarvakari chitta shando gadaswam mamaja gurivivo tadrishim chitta shandim. That chitta shandi or control of the mind is more important than any wealth in this world. Is it not? Krishna says there in the Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is saying, of all the things in this world, the most difficult thing to control is the mind. Durjayana mahammana, Krishna says. Remember, Krishna has so many opulences discussed in the Bhagavatam, like in the Bhagavad Gita. We'll see that in the 10th chapter. Ekadasha Skandam also, Krishna discusses all his opulences. And he says there, of all the things, difficult things in this world, to control, the most difficult thing is the mind. And that mind I am, he says. We all know that, isn't it? How this mind can play its game. Each one of us goes through it sometime or the other. You will always experience that. Durjayana mahammana, Krishna says. So Bichugida, the Bichu is saying, the Avanti Brahmana is saying, that I have understood this one thing. If I don't get him under control, he can throw me out. He can put me out of balance. Everything. Tektva shando gadastvam mamajakuri vibho tadrashim chitta shandim. That chitta shandi or peace inside is more important to me than anything else in this world. This is what the prayer from the Brahmana to Krishna. He prays that. That is what is. And this Krishna kept it in his mind and mentioned this to Uddhava later. In the Uddhavadesham, you will see there. So, main thing, what we are talking about was that once you have reached that stage, na kamya karma bhijam, there is no more desire anymore inside, and then it is very difficult for him to conduct vyavaharam. Afterwards, you will know in that story, the Brahmana, nobody will give him any food because he hasn't given anything to anybody anytime. So, he goes away from that village, he goes to another village, and he begs for food. So somebody felt compassion for him and gave some food to him. He took the food and then he goes near a river bank, wanted to wash his hands and legs and sit and eat comfortably. When he was there, some cowherd boys were tending the cows there. When they saw this Brahmana with the food in the bowl and he left the bowl and went to wash his hands and legs, by the time he came back, they put some dust into the food. And some of them passed the urine into the food. And made life as difficult as possible. As difficult as possible for him. And when he came back, by then, he had one blanket with him, one torn blanket, which he has taken with him. And one stick while walking. So he had this water pot, a blanket, and a stick in the hand. All the three things he has kept on the riverbank near the food. And different cowherd boys have taken each of them. One took the blanket, one took the water pot, and one took the stick. And when the Brahmana came back, this is what he is saying. After washing in the river, when he came back, this is the situation. In the food, they have put all the dust. One of them has taken the blanket, one of them has taken the stick, dandam, and the other one has taken the water pot. So he asked his boys, give me back my blanket. So when you ask the boy to give the blanket back, he'll say, you ask the man with the water pot. If he gives it to you, I'll give this to you. They started teasing him like this. You know, boys, how they are. What they want. They get this old man happened to be their victim that day. So all of them kept on teasing him and did not allow him to eat, and he was starving. He hasn't had any food. And the food they have destroyed in this way. At that time, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, the Brahmana didn't get angry. He didn't get upset. Suppose if it was us, what would have happened? Imagine that. That is that control. Mind is completely under control. Tadrishim chitta shandi. Chitta shandi, that peacefulness inside. Brahmana didn't say one word to them. And Krishna says, he sang a song at that time. Can anybody sing a song when he is angry? What kind of song will that be if it comes out? So, but he sang a song, Krishna says. And that is what is famous known as Bichugida in the Bhagavatam. So, that Bichugida, Krishna mentions there, that if you don't get this mind under control, whole 10th canto is all about this mano nirodham, isn't it? Then otherwise it's going to be vasanas will come back and they will take you to another body again. So while I was coming, what I was saying about this was that if vasanas gets in, apart from the existing vasanas, if fresh vasanas gets in, that becomes a problem. And if it remains inside, at the time of death, it will be very, very difficult situation. Very, very difficult situation. Based on the vasanas, some form will appear and we'll have to accept that body according to that. That is a subtle principle of that Bhikshugita. In order to warn us, if you have any vasanas left behind inside us at the time of death, those vasanas will come in front of us in some form. It will manifest. Accordingly, you will have to accept your next body. So, keeping this in the background, if you look into Mahabharatam, what happened? You know this Kauravas and Pandavas, Mahabharat war happened between them, isn't it? Kauravas and the Pandavas. So, in the war, there was tremendous, animosity or enmity between the Pandavas and the Kauravas, isn't it? You know it's well known. 5 brothers on one side and the 100 brothers on the other side. So, what happened? Duryodhana was determined that not even a trace of this Pandava family will remain in this world. That is why when you remember at the end, Ashwatthama went and set fire to and killed all the children of Draupadi after the war was over. You know that story in the Bhagavatam, it's there. And Ashwatthama came back and reported this to Duryodhana, I have done this. That I will not allow even a trace of Pandava to remain in this world. Duryodhana initially did not appreciate that because he thought that was gone a little too far to kill that innocent children in the barracks who were resting there or sleeping there. He went and set fire to them and killed all of them. That shows the revenge inside was so strong in Duryodhana's case. It was so strong. Equally bad it was Yudhishthira and Bhima. Also, Yudhishthira, Bhima in this side and Duryodhana, Dushasana and Shalya and others on the other side, both of them were mutually very revengeful. Both of them were mutually very revengeful. You have to remember that. And what happened when the Mahabharata war was over, there was nothing remaining. Everything was destroyed. So they asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, what was the purpose of this war? What did we gain from this? Whom do you want to rule now? There's nobody left behind to rule. So Yudhishthira was very upset after the war. So when eventually Krishna left the planet, and then as soon as Arjuna brought this news from Dwaraka to Hastinapur that Krishna has left, Yudhishthira decided to leave. You know that famous story, which is known as Mahaprasthanam. Mahaprasthanam means Pandavas going back to the spiritual world on their own accord. After the pastimes activities are over here, they are leaving here. The way they went back, on the way back, that is known as Surgarohanam. Even now, if you go to Badrinath, the journey begins from there, what is known as Surgarohini. That's the trip is called Surgarohini. You have to walk many miles, and while you travel from there, the route the Pandavas has taken from there on their way back. So while leaving from Badrinath, that journey starts. So from then on, Yudhishthira is going, followed by Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, and Draupadi. All of them are walking together from Badrinath onwards on their Surgarohanam. Mahaprasthanam it is called in the Bhagavatam. It's a very important chapter in the first canto, this Mahaprasthanam. When they were going back, one after the other, they started dropping dead. Draupadi, Nakula, Sahadeva, Arjuna, Bhima, they all dropped dead on the way. Finally, Yudhishthira was left and a dog was left, was going with them all the way. What did Yudhishthira do finally before he left this world? Do you know what he did?
He created a form of Duryodhana there, installed a deity of Duryodhana, and put garlands on that Duryodhana and worshipped him. Do you know why? Reason is that he had so much feeling against Duryodhana inside, and that was not going away from the heart. He realized that if I go back with this, carrying this weight inside me, if I go back, I'll have to come back again to finish up that vasana inside. It is a proof of that to tell us that if we develop any kind of vasana inside towards any person or towards any object for that matter, it will come back. And Yudhishthira was very much aware of this. And you can never imagine that the last thing to do in this world is to set up a temple for Duryodhana before leaving this world, of thinking, recognizing what he has done. But this is what Yudhishthira has done. One person who went on that trip told me this, that it is a very amazing thing that Yudhishthira has installed Duryodhana there before leaving this world. And the reason was given to them as this, that not to carry that inimical animosity inside, revenge, because revenge is such a thing, it burns inside, isn't it? It goes on, it doesn't finish with this body, it will go to the next body, and the next body, and the next body, it goes on and on and on. So, fearing that, Yudhishthira has done this in the Mahabharatam, this incident is mentioned there also. So the important thing is here is that connecting the vasanas and desires inside with anything is going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem later. We'll discuss it after a few minutes. So, one little announcement before I forget, that we will have classes today and then next two more weekends. Then on the 7th, I'm going, 7th is a Monday. So 5th and 6th, we will have the classes. And similarly, which one, I don't know the dates, end of this week. So the coming Saturday and Sunday, and the next one also, Saturday and Sunday. Then I'll be away for 3 weeks. 3 weekends I'll be away, and then we'll come back and start the classes again. So Naveen will put that on the website, which you can look at the dates then. So, coming back to this, Kamya Karma Bhijanam Yasya Chedasi Sambhava, Krishna is saying there. Hari Maharshi says there, isn't it? So, that is the problem. Kamya Karma Bhijanam Yasya Chedasi Sambhava. Hari Maharshi is explaining that to us. Why a first class devotee cannot do anything in this world? A first class devotee. He cannot do anything in this world. The reason is, Na kamya karma bhijanam yasya chetasi sambhavaha, that in his chetasa means in his consciousness, there is no desire, there is no material desire. You see, we can conduct business in this world only if we have strong urge inside, isn't it? Desire inside. When you go to a shop, suppose you want to bargain something, you need to have the desire inside, otherwise you'll just pay the money and take it what you want. But where does that come from? Because inside, the desire is there. You want to make a profit out of every deal, or you want to make a profit out of something. So only then it becomes that is the bijam inside, the seed of vasana, of desire inside is there. That is called kamya karma. Kamya karma means fruitive activity. Everything, in everything you are seeing a profitable deal to look like that. So that is not possible for a pure devotee, because that's gone completely from inside. Na kamya karma bhijanam yasya chetasi sambhavaha. In his chetas consciousness, it's not there. Why? Vasudeva iganilayaham. Everywhere it's Vasudeva. Vasudeva, the word is, Vasu means to live in someone. Vasudeva, Krishna is there in everybody. And Savai Bhagavadottama. He has come to that state, so he cannot do any vyavaharam with anybody. It has come to, it has become difficult for him. You understand why it is so? The reason is this, that because the vasanas have gone away from inside, for him, there is no more transactions in this world. Today, in our state, we are keeping these two things separately, isn't it? In the world, we have to deal in one way. With Krishna, we have to deal in a different way. But what happens is, our worldly transactions, that mind comes to Krishna also while dealing with Krishna. and that causes problems. That causes problems. So Krishna, many, many devotees who are very devotional in one sense, but on the other sense that they are willing to offer a lot to Krishna, but at the same time they are expecting also from Krishna something. That relationship will go in that way. That's the problem. So this business nature has to go away from inside. Only then that relationship is pure. Otherwise it is contaminated relationship, that is. So, na kamya karma bijanam yasya chedasi sambhavaha vasudevaiga nilaya savai bhagavadottamaham. So, because they have come to that state, the problem is that in that pure devotee state, they cannot do anything because if you want to do something in this world, you have to think about it, isn't it? Any kind of thing. If you are going to shopping, you have to make a decision where to buy first. And you have to compare the prices from one shop to another. This is all a part of vyavaharam in this world. But a pure devotee cannot do that anymore. He is in a difficult situation. So he cannot think even in those lines that items are sold for different prices in different shops. All those thoughts have disappeared from him. So he cannot do anything that he is going to make a profit out of any deal in this world. Everything is difficult. Material life becomes very difficult at that time. So one day it so happened, this is just an example, a great soul went into a very wealthy man's house. And wealthy man saw this Mahatma, the great personality who had come. He looked at him and he looked very strong and stout and very fit to do work. So when he went and he asked him, so he went there asking for some food to this wealthy man's house. So the wealthy person said to him that you got a very nice strong body, why don't you do some work? When you find some work, instead of asking others to provide you with the food, he said. And he was going to go at that time, the rich man says to him that you don't have to go, I'll give you some food, but do some work first. He was very particular about that. So there was a lot of firewood lying there, which was to be cut, to be used properly. So he says to this man, this Mahatma, cut all that firewood, here is the axe, take it, whatever time it takes, you finish that work and I'll give you plenty of food to eat, he said. So he took the axe and started cutting the wood. After the whole wood was cut, he left the axe there and walked away from there without asking for any food or anything. The rich man thought, after he has cut the wood, he will come and then I'll give him the food. That was in his mind. After a while, when the rich man came back, he looked at it and he saw that he has done all the work very well and left the axe and went away from there. So he started thinking, what's wrong with him? He came here asking for the food and now he has done this work and he has left this place without taking anything from us. So he started thinking a little bit deeper and he said, I must find out what has actually caused the problem. He went after looking for him and he found him. And then he asked him, why did you not take food? He said, wherever I do any work, I will not take anything. And wherever I take anything, I won't do any work. It's a very important principle in spiritual life. We may think, these are our problems. Our problems this is. We do everything in this world as a business transaction, isn't it? You do this for me, I'll do this for you. This is business life, isn't it? And that mentality has to go away from inside. Only because it is there because of the vasana inside. Our conditioning is like that. Whole lifetime we have done that, isn't it? This lesson we have to learn is, that person had full realization that Krishna will protect him and he is a devotee, he is living in Krishna's shelter. And if this person doesn't give the food, somewhere else it will be there for him. That faith in him was so strong. And he knew very well, if Bhagavad Gita is correct, na karma bhala samyogam. We have total faith in the karmam and karma bhalam. We have. Devotees who have realized Krishna consciousness properly, they have full faith that karmam has nothing to do with karma bhalam. Result of karmam and karmam, karma and the karmam has no connection. So that's why he answered it like that. He told him that Wherever I do work, I don't take anything from there. And wherever I take food, I won't do any work there. He replied back to him, made the rich man to think, to make him understand that his wealth is also not his wealth, it is Krishna's wealth. In the Bhagavatam, it mentions that. That he sees, you look into that, the pure devotee's qualifications are spoken there. And if you analyze these verses, you will know. He's saying there, if you look into that verse, 52, what does he think about the wealth in this world? Na yasya swaha. It's all Krishna's wealth. Everything is Krishna's wealth. Na yasya swaha para idi viteshu almani va bhidaha sarva bhuda samashanda savai bhagavadottamaha. First class devotee thing, na yasya swaha paraha, nothing is mine and nothing is somebody else's. Everything is Krishna's. There were people who have lived with all this understanding. You must understand that also. It's not that something Hari Maharshi has spoken and gone away like this. There was one famous sannyasi called Swami Ramdas. You may have heard about him. This Swami Ramdas was well known because he chanted Ramachandra's name, Ramamandram. Sri Ramamandram was this. In his ashram, he used to wander around all over, always chanting Lord Ramachandra's name. In one instance, he walked into one wealthy man, invited him to his house and took him to his house and gave all facilities for him to stay he had a big house, so naturally he had separate apartment for him to accommodate him. So this rich person put him in a separate apartment for him to live for a few days when he wanted him to stay, and the rich person was staying in his house. In one occasion, in one night, when Swami Ramdas was in the apartment, one thief came, walked into the house. When thief came, Swami Ramdas found him and told him, Ramchandra, please come, he says to the thief. Invited him to the house and he sat there and he was chanting Ramchandra's name whole night. Who? Swami Ramdas. And the thief thought, this person is like this, he's gone case. It's nothing again. Let me see what can I get from here. He looked into the room. The room was well kept. You know, rich people, how they keep with all sorts of things in the house. So he took a bag and filled everything what he could get from the room. Ramdas was sitting there and chanting. He put everything into the bag. And after a while, Ramdas thought there is no space in the bag. So he took one of his dhotis and gave it to him. Ram, you take this also, he said, to put the remaining things into the bag. So the thief packed everything and emptied the whole room in the night. Only thing was that where Ramdas was sitting on a chair, the chair was left. Remaining most of the things, he has emptied the whole flat. Next day morning, the rich man comes and sees the whole room is empty. What do you think? What will happen? He asked Swami Ramdas, what has happened? Ramdas says, Ramchandra came and he took everything, he says. This was his answer. This is what that verse is talking about. It is not, these verses are not just stories. This is not, this has its own, you have to understand, this you will see in the life of many great Mahatmas. They come to that stage, there is no connection with this world anymore. Well, when you read this, you know how far we have to go. How long that distance is to get to that state. So he's saying here, yes, if you look at that verse, you will see that what he says is that na yasya swaha, nothing is his. Na paraha, it's not anybody's either. It's all Krishna's. Everything is Krishna's. To that state to come to, and idi viteshu almani va bhidaha, for them, they cannot see anything separated from the soul. Iteshu almani va bhidaha. In other words, vitta means wealth. All vittam is also belongs to the soul. Swami Ramdas addresses as Ramchandra's wealth. If it was a devotee, it will say Krishna's wealth. Krishna's devotee will say it's Krishna's wealth. Everything is Krishna's. So this is the state of realization of a pure devotee. A first class devotee's state of realization is like this. First of all, na kama karma bijanam yasya chedasi sambhavaha. There is no fruitive desires inside anymore. So there is no more desires disturbing him inside his, in his thoughts.
As he mentioned, Vasudevaya Nilaya Savai Bhagavadottama. That is one. Then, Nayasya Swaha Para Idi Vitveshu Almani Vabhidaha. Then, what else? Sarvabhuda Samashandaha Savai Bhagavadottamaha. Sarvabhuda Samam. All living entities are equal for them. That is proper equal vision. You can't create equality otherwise. You can't create equality otherwise. Sarvabhuda Samashandaha. All living entities are Krishna's presence there in them. That's the only way you can see the equality. Otherwise, you won't feel anybody, everybody is equal. Everybody cannot be equal. Only if you take to that spiritual identity, spiritual, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni jaiva shobageja pandita samadarshina. What is that pandita doing? Pandita is seeing in shuni the dog eater, the brahmana, the elephant. In everywhere, Krishna's presence he is seeing, and that is equal vision. So, a pure devotee, or Bhagavadottama, or a Jnani, or a Jivan Mukta, whatever you may call him, whichever name you use it, their consciousness is in this state, all the time. What else he says here? Na yasya janma karma bhyam, na varnashrama jadibi, sajyadesmin aham bhavo, dehe vai sahare priyaham. For him, na yasya janma karma bhyam, nor by the birth does not bother him anymore. Nor the actions of a person does bother him. Nor varnashramam will work him. Now this varnashrama issue is interesting. You know, a lot of people are discussing about this varnashramam now. Because why? Because somebody has got this idea that varnashrama system is important. They have come to that understanding. Varnashrama system is important. So there is a lot of discussion going on about varnashrama dharma. Now, Prabhupada discussed this varnashrama dharma. And many instances, devotees ask this question to Prabhupada. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached Krishna consciousness to everybody in the world, isn't it? To everyone addressing through the holy name, chanting the holy name. He said, Prabhupada answered, why do we need varnashram? That was the question. The devotees asked Prabhupada this question, why do we need varnashrama dharma? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached to everybody. Prabhupada answered in this way, he says to them, that varnashrama dharmam has a different role than pure Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always lived internal, not external. What does that mean? It means that Mahaprabhu's state of consciousness was very much centered around the soul. Varnashrama dharmam is for those who are not serious about that extent about spiritual life, but who are completely in a state where they need to be brought into some discipline. That is where varnashrama dharma will help. But you can see the problem. This is there in the Dandavats. If you read this letter, is there, Prabhupada's letter. Bhaktivikas Swami has put it on. It is there in his conversation. It is in one of the conversations sometime happened in 72 or 74. So Prabhupada was saying there that one hand, if you have taken spiritual life very seriously and you are going full steam in spiritual life, then all this varnashramam and other things hasn't have got much to do with it. It cannot be of much use to you. But then where is varnashramam required? Varnashramam is required. Where? Suppose somebody is not ready for spiritual life, is not feeling that urge. There are many, many devotees who feel that they want to have a comfortable life in this world. They want to have some comforts in this life. And with that, some spiritual life also. If you are in that state, varnashrama dharmam will help. That is the point Prabhupada was making to them at that time. You have to see where is it required. So, but in a first class devotee's case, varnashrama has no use to him. That's why Mahaprabhu said that, stay further, talk further about that. Varnashram is finished for me. He doesn't want to talk about, discuss Varnashram Dharma with Sanatana Goswami. You will see this in the Charichandamrita. So, Varnam Ashramam is necessary depending on the person who is coming to spiritual life. The one who is interested
in a reasonably happy, comfortable life in this world, and he's not fully convinced that he wants a self-realization, or he wants to not to come back here. He doesn't mind. Even if he comes back, he wants to have a good life still. If there is like that, for him, Varnashrama Dharma will help. You can read that letter. It is there. So, but again, the same thing is coming here also. Pure devotee, for him, Varnashrama Dharma has no meaning. You know what I'm saying? Varnashrama means four varnam and four ashramam. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. So one who has gone after the truth, realizing the self, for him what good is Varnashramam now? But some devotees you can still see, they are very much into this Varnashrama Dharmam. And they think that Varnashrama Dharmam is the answer. Varnashrama Dharmam is not the answer for self-realization. You become serious in spiritual life, that is the answer. If you take spiritual life very seriously, you don't have to worry about this Varnashrama Dharmam. Because Kavi Maharshi, Ari Maharshi is also saying this. Prabhupada explains that also in that letter. You can read that. Na yasya janma karma abhyam na varnashrama jadibi sajadesmin aham bhavo dehe vai sahare priyaha. The problem with Varnashrama, what is the problem? Brahmana will think I am a Brahmana. Kshatriya will think I am a Kshatriya. Vaishya will think I am a Vaishya. Shudra will think I am a Shudra, which means that I am still on the identification with the body. You have not come out of it still. There are many Brahmanas who think I am a Brahmana. Whereas, if you have come to spiritual life and you have moved beyond than that, you are not a Brahmana, you are not a Kshatriya, you are not a Vaishya, you are not a Shudra. You are not a Brahmachari, you are not a Grihastha, you are not a Vanaprastham, you are not a Sannyasi. They are all bodily identifications. So, a pure devotee says here, Sajjadesmin aham bhavo. He does not identify with any of these things. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. So, all this Varnashrama Dharmam also, only up to a level in spiritual life it may help people. Beyond than that, you got to transcend that. You have to go beyond, transfer beyond all these things to come to self-realization. The problems you can see. When you, as far as the realization of the self is concerned, even you have to transcend the Varnashrama Dharmam. That is what it means. And that is why, Sajjadesmin aham bhavo dehe vai sahare priyaha. That deham, body, is still a factor in Varnashrama Dharmam. But if you cultivate spiritual knowledge, self-realization has happened, then you have gone beyond that. That is not apply anymore. We can see that also. So this incident has happened. Na yasya soha para idi vitvesho alpanida vidaha. Then he does not think that all the wealth is his or it is somebody else's. It's all Krishna's wealth. That is him. So therefore he will take whatever he wants and he'll give it to anyone, whoever wants it. That is that state, isn't it? because if somebody gives something to him, he will think Krishna is giving this to me. And in that way, therefore, he has no attachment anywhere. Krishna has given me, Krishna will take it back from me. And therefore, that is the state. So this incident that happened, that this will only happen when that false ego inside has completely gone. Ahangaram has completely gone away from inside. Only in that state this will happen. So you can see why when we say Vasana Kshayam, Ahangara Kshayam, this is what we call that in the Jnanamargam, they call by these names. Ahangara Kshayam means completely destroying that false ego inside. Vasana Kshayam means all that desires are completely gone away from inside. So when we say the knowledge of the self is very simple, it is not very difficult to understand. That to understand the knowledge of the self is not. But why is that? Even after hearing about the self so much, the knowledge is not manifesting in us. Why it is not experiencing by us? Reason is that because of this vasanas inside and because of due to the lack of purification inside. Karma vasana and also due to the vasana kshayam, which is necessary at that time. Till that happens, this problem will remain. We will not experience the presence of the soul inside. So all our spiritual activities is directed towards purifying the chittam, chitta shuddhi. not to get the knowledge of the soul. Have you noticed that? We are chanting Hare Krishna for what? Not to realize the soul, but to purify the chittam, chitta shuddhi. It is for that purpose we are chanting. We are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship. Every spiritual activity, sadhana, anushtanam, everything is only for this purpose, for purification of chitta shuddham. You saw in that word also, verse also, tadrishim chitta shandim, chitta shandi. That is what is important. Because once chittam is purified, very easily the knowledge of the soul will come into the consciousness. It will become that. Will automatically it will happen to us. But because of the contamination inside, impurities inside in the chittam, in the form of vasana, karma vasanas inside, it is not getting in. The message is not going in. It will not allow that to happen. So that is why here it mentions like this, that false, what is that chittam purification means? First thing is the ahankara kshayam. Ahankaram inside, false ego. Ahankaram is present in us in 3-4 things. First, kartrutva bhoktrutva. Isn't it? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Secondly, what else is there? Ragam and dvesham. This is all part of that ahankaram. Ahankaram is experiencing everything. Who has ragadvesham? Soul doesn't have any ragadvesham. Then who has ragadvesham? Ahankaram has ragadvesham. Isn't it? So, similarly, ahankara kshayam. And who thinks that I am the doer and enjoyer? Ahankaram is thinking. Soul is not thinking. The ahankaram, which is in the form of jiva inside, jiva is thinking, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Is it not? So you can see from this, till this jiva bhavam or ahankaram completely goes away from inside, chittam will never get purified. In case of all the pure devotees and the jnanis and the great Bhagavadottamas, what has happened? This ahankaram doesn't exist anymore inside. They are so pure inside, therefore their quality, what is happens to them at that time, is these verses, what you are reading here in this second chapter of the 11th canto. What mentions here? What are they? Sarvabhudeshu yapashyet Bhagavel bhavam alpana bhudhani bhagavati alma esha bhagavado tamaham grihitva pindriyair arthan yona dveshti na hrishyadi vishnor mayam idam pashyen savai bhagavado tamam dehendriya pranamano dhiyamyo janmapayakshun bhaya darshakrachraihi samsara dharmai avimuhyamanaham stutya harer bhagavada pradhanaham न काम कर्म बीजानम यस्य चेतसि संभवाः वासुदेवैग निलय सवै भागवतोत्तमाः न यस्य जन्म कर्म अभ्याम न वर्णाश्रम जादिभि सज्जदेस्मिन् अहम् भावो देहैवै सहरे प्रियाः न यस्य सुह पर इति वितेषु आत्मनिवाभिदाः सर्वभूत समशान्त सवै भागवतोत्तमाः 5 or 6 verses just to talk about the consciousness of a pure devotee. Just see, each one of those verses, if you understand that, then you, and if you see them in someone, then you can take it that they have reached that state. These are that, if you ask somebody, some people always say, how do I know a pure devotee? People always ask this question. We think that pure devotee means there'll be a light around, all around the head. You say, isn't it? People used to say like that in the past, that there's an effulgence around this. So they are looking at the body again and seeing the, making the decision whether he's a pure devotee or not. Or if he's wearing some nice silk kurta or dhoti and some expensive Rolex wristwatch, or he's got the latest phone, 5. If you got, it must be a pure devotee, only you'll have all these things. You think like that. You say, this is how we see things. No, he must be pure. That's why he's got all these things with him. Or the latest laptop in his hand. But it has nothing to do with all those things. What Krishna is talking about, Hari Maharshi is saying here, you can't get a better explanation than this. Like earlier, about Krishna, Pipalayana Maharshi said, what does Krishna mean, isn't it? Similarly, if you want to know who is a first class pure devotee, what is his quality? These are these things. If you look at this, Dehendriya Pranamano Dhyayo Janma Payakshuthaya Varsha Darshakrachraihi, that he will not be disturbed by any of the 6 waves, which is called Shadurmi. Urmi means Everyone who has got a material body, we suffer from six major problems. What are they? Hankering and lamentation, two. Hunger and thirst. And finally, jara, old age and death. These six things, that means in the form of fear, it exists in us. If he has come to this pure devotee state, these six things should not disturb him anymore. It's a very good measuring instrument. Janmapayakshutbhayatarshakrachraihi, it says here. That means anything related to the body, anything related to the mind, anything related to the prana, anything related to the intelligence, he will have no problems. These four things, deham, indriyam, pranan, mind and intelligence. Deham, indriyam, pranam, mind, intelligence. He says five things. Dehendriya pranam anodhiyayam janmapya yakshodbhaya tarshakrachraihi. He said they will, any of these problems, what are the problems? Body is concerned, the problem is it will get sick, it will die one day. Doesn't bother him. Kshut bhaya tarsha krachaihi. Kshuta means hunger. Hunger won't disturb him. That is his state. What does that mean? Hunger doesn't. Does he not feel hungry? He feels hungry. But what is the difference? Because he has moved away from the body, he knows that what the body requires, it will be taken care of by Krishna's arrangement. That firm conviction inside, that is his strength. He will not be disturbed if the food doesn't come on the table for him. So now you can see, and similarly, bhaya tarsha karchraihi, bhayam, the fear in a person. We have a lot of fear inside, all of us, isn't it? About material existence itself is a fear. What's going to happen tomorrow? When is it going to come? Am I going to get sick? Am I going to lose everything? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose my family? Am I going to lose this? Always living in fear. That is material life, bhayam. Bhaya tarsha krachraihi samsara dharmai avimuhyamanaha. This material existence has its own dharma. It will show its own qualities. Anybody who thinks that in this world it is possible to become peaceful, it is a mistake. It is not going to happen. It is not possible. And stutyaha deyar bhagavata pradhanaha. A devotee who is situated in that state, he is a first class devotee. So you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, these 6 verses is practically a definition of a devotee who has realized the truth. Who has realized the truth. There is 3 more verses after that is glorifying that devotee by Hari Maharshi. So, coming back to Bhagavad Gita, you will see there that this relationship with Krishna and the devotee, we are talking about this important verse, isn't it? Ananyas chindayandomam yajanam pairyupasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamiham. Now, from all these explanations in the Bhagavadam, you can see that this verse, Ananyas Chindayantomam, is talking about those devotees. These are the devotees Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is not discussing about us, people like us, in the Bhagavad Gita. I don't think it's worthwhile. He doesn't even consider it worthwhile discussing about us. So he has not spoken about us. He has spoken about that type of devotees. That is the important thing. So here you can, there are many, many examples like this, said in the that this state of consciousness is not helpful for vyavaharam. This is the problem. If somebody is in this state of consciousness, he cannot do vyavaharam in this world. Vyavaharam is not possible. That does not mean that he will not survive in this world. Krishna will look after him. Krishna is guaranteeing that. He may be useless in vyavaharam, but he will be taken care of by Krishna. In which way? Whatever that is necessary to maintain that body, that will be provided. Because for him, all desires have gone away. Who is desiring everything? The ahankaram inside, isn't it? The false ego is desiring. The soul is not desiring anything. Soul doesn't want anything. It's a false ego that is making all the plans, making all the desires. Everything is coming from the soul. What Krishna is saying here, once that ahankaram has gone, who is there to desire then?
There is nobody to desire anymore after that, is it not? That is why it says, for a pure devotee, there will be no desires. Because ahankaram has gone. Ahankaram is the one which is desiring everything. Once the ahankaram has come, ahankaram means the false ego is gone, who is there to desire then? So that is why, that is that state. So everything is centered around this false ego. That has to go away. So, sesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. So in that state, there is only connection between that devotee and Krishna. Nothing else. There is no connection with this world. That is why in the Bhashyam, if you remember, apraptasya praptahi yogaha prabhannam kshemaha. So that will come into the spiritual life in this way. So in the process of, Ajari Swami mentions that, in the process of realization, suppose after a lot of reflection on all what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, you have developed a certain realization inside. It will come to everybody. If you keep on hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice yourself that you are making some progress in realizations. It may not be very deep, but at least you will start seeing things in a different way in this world. It will be completely different. You will start experiencing that this knowledge what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam does make sense to many people, isn't it? But what can happen is, we cannot afford to lose it, whatever we got it, isn't it? We can't afford to lose it. What Ajari Swamiji is saying here is that even if you have not realized the truth completely, whatever little realization you have from the Shastram or from Salsangam or from any situation, it is Krishna's duty is to protect that. That is that yoga means. Yoga means whatever little you have got in life, in spiritual life, to protect that wealth, to protect that asset, Krishna says, I'll take care of that person. I'll take care of that. Now, the same thing, Ramanujacharya's explanation. What we have spoken so far is from Shankaracharya's words. Ramanujacharya says here, this Bhagaval Prapti Lakshanam Yogaha. Not much different, you can see. They're all saying exactly the same thing. Bhagaval Prapti Lakshanam Yogaha. That means if you get back to Krishna, if you realize the truth, that is yogam, apunaravarti lakshanam kshemam. That is how he makes it. Ajari Swamiji says that the tesha apraptasya praptahi yogaha, and he says kshemam, that means maintenance of the material body in this world, protection of that is kshemam. That is how Ajari Swamiji mentions. Ramanujacharya says here, that Bhagaval, there is no difference. Bhagaval Prapti Kshemam Yogaha. Going back to Krishna, realizing the self is Kshemam. But Apuranavarti Lakshanam Kshemam. Kshemam. So, Bhagaval Prapti Lakshanam Yogam. For Ramanujacharya says, Bhagaval Prapti Lakshanam Yogam. Going back to Krishna and protection of that is Yogam. Which exactly Shankaracharya has also said. But on the second thing, he differs from Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya says that yoga, kshemam refers to looking after in such a way that this material body does not become an impediment in his spiritual progress. That is Shankaracharya's version. Ramanujacharya says that as far as the yogam is concerned, he agrees with Shankaracharya. That means Bhagaval Prapti Lakshanam Yogam. Going back to Krishna is yogam. That he also agrees. But, apunaravarti lakshanam kshemam. Not to allow him to come back and take another birth here. Apunaravarti. That means, punaravarti means to take birth again. That is the kshemam, as Ramanuja sees that. There's a little differences like this between Vishishtadvaitam and Advaitam. So, that's all we have to know. Krishna is saying here that vahamyaham, I carry, he says. Vahamyaham means I carry. Vahamyaham means that if you look into all great devotees, you will see this verse actually in action in the life of devotees. Ekanath Swami, if you take his life and look at it, you will see here that in so many and so many incidents in Ekanath's life, you will see Krishna has come and served them in different forms. to make sure that this thing what we are talking about, that what Krishna says there, isn't it? Yogakshema Mahamiham, how Krishna has saved them. But one thing you have to remember, when we read this verse, you should not think that, oh, when the devotee is in distress or in some difficulty, Krishna is going to come in the with the four-handed form, conch shell, disc, lotus flower. No, it may not happen in that way. But it will happen in some form that power will come to protect that devotee. So, in some form, through somebody, that power, Krishna, will come through some form or some power and do the what is necessary at that time. That is how it will happen. So, this is important. Why? Householder life, everybody thinks that it's nice to have a lot of children, grandchildren. If we have a big army around us, they'll be there to look after us at the time of death. This is many householders' conception in this life, isn't it? And you will see that that person who had all that, he will end up somewhere. He won't get that shelter from the... This is practical in life, many times it happens. In order to take our faith in all this, take it away from us, people develop all this kind of faith. It's necessary to have a family, necessary to have a big family, that to a lot of children, a lot of grandchildren. Many people feel great happiness in all that, isn't it? Krishna is saying here, if you have put all your shelter in all these places, you are going to be disappointed one day. And many instances, such people got into difficulties who had developed that kind of faith. On the other hand, in many occasions, you can also see someone who had no one to care for, you will see that Krishna has taken care of them in various different situations. This is all in the life of many, many devotees you will see here. So, yogakshemam mahamyaham, that is a rule. But that it is like a sort of a guaranteed force working in this world. This yogakshemam mahamyaham is a guaranteed force. And this is not based on your faith. It's not based on your faith alone, because if a devotee is thinking about Krishna, that he has no other shelter except Krishna, then this will happen automatically. And because it is in that situation that Krishna says, I have to follow him. I will follow him. If a person who has, he may or may not have developed the faith that Krishna will protect him, but he is completely dependent on Krishna, surrendered to him. Depending on the surrender, Krishna says, I will follow him. It is based on these words only, this ananyas chindayandomam yejanam parivipasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyam. When Krishna spoke to Arjuna, he put it in this form. The same verse, when he spoke to Uddhava, he changed it. How did he put it? Niravaksham munim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam anubrajamyaham nityam uyeye tyangrire nubhi. He gave a little bit more a beautiful twist to the whole thing. Because in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna spoke in the Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Yogam, this verse, it is not completely centered around bhakti only. There is bhakti, there is jnanam in this chapter. Both are there. You can't write it off. They are both there. But when it came to bhakti, when Krishna is talking to Uddhava, it's in a different scenario he is talking to him. There he is saying, Nirabeksham munim shandam. The devotee whom I will follow is like this. Nirabeksham, one who has no desire at all. That is his greatest qualification. What else? Munim shandam. He is always peaceful inside. Nirvairam samadarshinam. There is no enmity towards anyone in this world. No inimical feeling towards any living entity. Samadarshinam, always situated on the platform of the equal vision. A pure devotee state, in other words. Such a person, Krishna says, anuvrajamyaham nityam. Every moment, I am going after him. Why? Puyeye tyangrire nubhi. I just want to take the dust from his feet and sprinkle it on my head to purify myself. That is Krishna's humility. Krishna's humility is that. Krishna doesn't require any purification, does he? But still, to show that how he care for a devotee in that state, that is in the Bhagavadam. It is the same verse in the Bhagavad Gita, but in another form spoken in the Srimad Bhagavadam. So, here, that is that verse. So, it is spoken in a poetical language. That's what it is. Mostly that verse. It is like that. So, in other words, Krishna's kripa or grace will follow that devotee under all circumstances, like a universal law. Krishna is talking about that. Laws of material nature may change, but this law won't change. That's important thing. The laws of material nature can change, but this law won't change because this is a law which has been there from creation. It has always been like that. So, so this law operate, only problem is, in order that this law has to come to operation, we have to be centered around Krishna. It has to be centered around Krishna. In other words, Krishna has to be the center. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Only then it will operate. Not that because you are clever it will happen. It won't happen. Somebody may be very clever. It won't happen. But Krishna says here, and you cannot say that it will operate in that situation. So, only when one is centered around Krishna completely all the time, this can happen. Otherwise, nothing will happen. In other words, that state where there is no more false ego inside. If it is that case, he will be taken care of. This is that state. So, whatever that is necessary, that will be taken care of by Krishna. The finest example for this is Ramatirtha. Swami Ramatirtha's life. If you read, he was a mathematics professor in University of Lahore. That was before partition. Partition happened, Lahore went to Pakistan. But before that, he lived in Lahore and he was a professor in the very young age, 24, 25, he was a professor there, teaching mathematics. But very quickly he got attracted to Vedanta philosophy. And not only that, he was so committed in spiritual life that by the age of 31, he was fully realized. And it is in that state he traveled in the world. Somebody suggested that at that time, it was the time British India, somebody suggested that he should be sent for a meeting in Japan. He was sent to Japan. And when he reached in Japan, at the age of 28, he took sannyas from a famous personality in Rishikesh. He took sannyasam and went to Japan. And in Japan, somehow that meeting didn't happen. Everything was paid for by this wealthy person who sent him there. And from Japan, after the meeting did not happen, and somebody sent him from there to America. He goes to America. And he, while travel, we mentioned this before also, when he arrived in America, he goes with a cloth bag in his hand. He gets there, arrives there. And everybody got down from the boat. All got down from the boat. He was still standing there with this cloth bag on his shoulder. And in his sannyasa dress, he was standing there. So, somebody noticed that, who was a resident of that place. He came up to him and told him, "Haven't you got any luggage?" His answer, "Rama carries no luggage," he says. That was his answer. "Rama carries no luggage," he says. Then, "Rama carries this bag, this is the luggage," he said. "So, are you waiting for somebody?" "Rama doesn't wait for anybody," he says. This was his answer. You can read this, all this in the Woods of Self-Realization. You'll see that book. It wasn't available for quite a long time. It has come back again now in the market. It is still there. Now they have put it on the web as well. If you read through it, you will see all this. Incidents expressed there, explained there. And then he says to him, "Are you waiting for anybody?" He says, "I'm waiting for you," he said. And that person who introduced himself to him, took him and kept him with him for 2 years. Imagine that. He looked after him, everything was given to him and looked after him. That is Krishna's forces. Krishna's forces works in that way. Through whom it will work, impossible to say. Through whom it will work, impossible to say. Krishna won't come and personally take you. No. There is arrangement in the nature for all these things to take care of. That is the important point. So, Ramatirtha, Swami Ramatirtha's life, if you read, you will see this. It's a direct, he didn't live very long. After many few years, it was that time when Roosevelt, when he was the president of America, Roosevelt was a famous president, he came to hear about this Ramatirtha and he wanted to meet him. So those who were listening to Ramatirtha at that time told Ramatirtha, president is coming, you should not talk to him, Rama, 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 it will look very inappropriate, he said. So Ramatirtha heard everything and kept quiet, didn't say one word. Roosevelt came and had a meeting with Ramatirtha. And Ramatirtha says to Roosevelt, Emperor Rama, he calls himself. So Roosevelt started smiling and asked him, where is your empire? He says. Ramatirtha says to Roosevelt, your empire is only lasting 4 years. After that, you have to leave that chair. My empire is forever. What does that mean? It means one who has no desire, he lives in an empire. He is the emperor, not the one who has got all the desires in this world. That is the message from that. That's what Ramatirtha was saying to him. One who has no desire, he is the emperor of this world because he doesn't need anything from here. But one who has a lot of desires, material desires, whatever desires, he is not in control. He is more like a situation, is like a dog situation. Wants more, 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 more. That is why spiritual advancement means this, that freedom from all desires. That's why Krishna is glorifying Nirabheksham. That Nirabheksham state was in the case of Ramatirtha. He doesn't want anything from Roosevelt. He doesn't want anything from anybody for that matter. So Roosevelt also was saying that, who is this, what kind of emperor are you? He says, my empire is like this, it will never go. This empire will live forever. Whereas your empire will last for 4 years or 8 years maximum, and then you have to leave that empire, isn't it? So this is that what that message is about. Proper empire means that freedom from that desire. That's a big thing in life, to be free from all material desires. So when he was Ramatirtha was so sure that power which has brought me here from Japan will look after this body in all situations. Why do I have to worry about it? That strength in that is spiritual life. That is spiritual life. That is spiritual. That is realization. That is exceptional cases you will find. Now, such personalities, you may ask, why did that happen to him? Reason is, the only analysis for that is, practically they have reached that state in their previous life already. They had a little bit of prarabdham to finish. So when they came here, you can see they had a very short span of life. He left his body when he was 31 years old. All the great personalities, if you look, they don't live very long, very short period of time. 31, he left his body in Rishikesh, and that was the end of that personality. Very short period of time, but very high degree of realizations. He has completely shaken the world with his Vedanta understanding of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, years he spent in America, a few years, then he comes back to Haridwar, and then left his body in Rishikesh later. That was the beauty of that. So that life, if you observe, you will see the same principle. Ananyas chindayandomam yajanam parivasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham. That is that realization in the great devotees. So here we'll see that Upanishad mentions this. It mentions like this. Sa samrat bhavati, sa swarat bhavati, sa sarveshu lokeshu kamacharo bhavati. This is in the Upanishad. This sa samrat bhavati. He is an emperor then, when he is released from all desires. He is an emperor. Sa samrat bhavati, sa swarat bhavati. He is completely independent. Only a person who is free from desires, he is totally independent. Not the one who has got all the desires. That is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mentioned this at the time of freedom struggle, isn't it? We struggle for freedom, we get freedom, but then other problems come with that, along with that. So the point was that from Shastram point of view, if you look at it, independence is, Swarad means independent. Independence is not the physical independence. Independence is this freedom from desires, you see, independence.
Freedom from desires is the independence. Independence. Sa sarveshu logeshu kamacharo bhavati. It is from the Upanishads. So such a person, one who has no desires, who has total freedom to go anywhere he wants, he is an emperor. He is an emperor. So here you can see that they know this power very well. This power of Krishna. Krishna's this power, which one? This power of shelter. What is spoken in these words, these personalities know them very well, know that very well, and they have taken that it will operate at the time when it is required. That's their strength. Never you will see, whether it is Swami Ramatirtha or many other Mahatmas, they never asked anything from Krishna. Everything was provided at the time when it was required for them. They were sent here, and Krishna has operated through them with a particular purpose. To propagate Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, because all time in this world you need examples. People, otherwise Shastra will become outdated, isn't it? Any Shastram, if there is no one who lives according to that Shastram as an example, Shastram will become outdated very easily. That's why you will also notice one thing, throughout history, there will always be personalities who are living strictly according to the principles of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Only we need to have the eyes to see that. Be carried away by the propaganda, isn't it? Everything, somebody makes a big television program and in so many channels if he appears, and if he makes a big splash, people think, oh, that there he is. That is not the way. You have to look at it through the verses in the Bhagavatam. And you will see there are people all times who are in line with the verses what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are many, many examples like that mentioned there in the Bhagavatam. So here there is the these words, because it is such a important words, there is so much to talk about it also. Ananya Chindayandomam. Because only then you will understand that this verse is reserved for certain personalities in that status, in that level. Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham, Krishna mentions here. Therefore, why it is, they have reached that state, Ananyatvam. Remember yesterday we talked about that, Ananyatvam. Ananyatvam means that they can't see anything separately from Krishna, including themselves. That identification of the jiva is so firm inside that anything, if it is separated from the truth is Krishna, the soul. If anything is separated from that, they know very well fear will come. If you remember, in the same Ekadasha Skandam, Kavi Maharshi begins with this. What did he say? He says there, if you look into that verse, Kavi Ruvacha, the first verse, Kavi saying, Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padam bhujopasanam atra nityam uddigna bhugde asadalma bhavad vishwalpana yatra nivartade bhi. This is the beginning of that Kavi's instruction. Have you noticed one thing? Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya. Bhayam means fear. Fear. Where is fear coming from? Why are we always in a fearful state? All of us are always in fear. We may not say this, but there is the fearful state in all of us, is it not? As soon as the body gives a little trouble, we are in the state of fear. It comes. As soon as there is other problems in life, there is fear. Fear is constantly traveling with us. All around, wherever we go, it's with us. Fear, fear, fear. All the time fearful. Kavi Maharshi is saying here, Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padam bhujopasanam atra nityam uddigna buddhe asadalma bhavad vishwalpana yatra nivartade bhi. What is happening to him? That in this state, uddigna buddhe asadalma bhavad. That is what has happened. He has taken asata as alma. Means, body is asat. If I identify with the body, that means it is asata. I am identifying with asat. Kavi is saying there,
Udhigna buddhe asadhalpa bhavad. This asadhalpa bhavam, that means identifying with the asat as alma, and due to that creating anxiety inside. Udvegam. Udvegam means anxiety. Udvigna buddhe means full of anxiety inside. Why? Asadhalpa bhavad. In other words, truth is one. The soul is one. That is alma. From anything, if you break away from that, there is two. Dvaitam will come. Once dvaitam will come, one will be afraid of the other. That is the principle. That is why where dvaitam difficulty comes. As soon as you move away from one, a second one comes. The second will be fearful of the first, or first will be fearful of the second. That is the problem with the dvandvam. In dvandvam, we have that difficulty. So here, Kavi Maharshi is saying, Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padambhujobasana matra nityam. Uddhigna buddhe asadalpa bhava vishwalpmana yatra nivarta dhebhi. Only if you move away from that separation, from that, come back to that oneness of the soul, vishwalpmana, oneness, yatra nivarta dhebhi. Nivarta dhebhi means freedom from the fear will happen at that time. This is how Kavi Maharshi starts discussing that Bhagavata Dharma in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we will stop there today. Next Saturday, we will continue from here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.